Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Namo Krishna Padaya, Krishna Prasaya, Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta, Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Narvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Narvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Govata Vanda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Shri Krishna सन्यम प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाध शिव कवि गौर भक्त वृंद प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाध शिव कवि गौर भक्त वृंद प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाध शिव कवि गौर भक्त वृंद प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाध शिव कवि गौर भक्त वृंद माधवान जया कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवान जया कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा जया कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा जया कुंज विहारी गोपी जनवल्लभा जय गिरिवरधारी जय गिरिवरधारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन యశోదనందన వ్రజ జన రంజన యమునా తీర వనచారి యమునా తీర వనచారి యమునా తీర వనచారి జయ రాధా మాధవ జయ కుంజ విహారీ జయ రాధా మాధవ జయ కుంజ విహారీ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరి హరే హరి రామ హరే రామ 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 హరి హరే హరి కృష్ణ కృష్ణ హరి హరే హరి రామ హరే రామ 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 హరి హరే కృష్ణ హరి హరే హరి రామ హరే రామ 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 హరి హరే హరి కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరి హరే హరి రామ హరే రామ 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 హరి హరే హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే హరి రామ హరి రామ 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 హరి హరే కృష్ణ హరి 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 రామ హరి రామ 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 హరి 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 కృష్ణ హరి కృష్ణ 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 హరి 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 రామ హరి రామ 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 హరి 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 కృష్ణ హరి కృష్ణ 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 హరి 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 రామ హరి రామ 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 హరి హరి
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
హరిహరాయ నమో కృష్ణ యాదవాయ నమః యాదవాయ మాధవాయ కేశవాయ నమః హరిహరాయ నమో కృష్ణ యాదవాయ నమః యాదవాయ మాధవాయ కేశవాయ నమః యాదవాయ నమః యాదవాయ మాధవాయ కేశవాయ నమః హరిహరాయ నమో కృష్ణ యాదవాయ నమః యాదవాయ మాధవాయ కేశవాయ నమః గోపాల గోవింద రామ శ్రీ మధుసూదన గిరిధరి గోపీనాథ మదన మోహన గోపాల గోవింద రామ శ్రీ మధుసూదన గిరిధరి గోపీనాథ మదన మోహన శ్రీ మధుసూదన గిరిధరి గోపీనాథ మదన మోహన హరిహరాయ నమో కృష్ణ యాదవాయ నమః యాదవాయ మాధవాయ కేశవాయ నమః యాదవాయ నమః యాదవాయ మాధవాయ కేశవాయ నమః. గోపాల గోవింద రామ శ్రీమధుసూదన గిరిధరి గోపీనాథ మదన మోహన. శ్రీచైతన్య నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత సీత హరి గురు వైష్ణవ భగవద గీత. నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత సీత హరి గురు వైష్ణవ భగవద గీత. శ్రీరూప శ్రీ సనాతన భట రఘునాథ శ్రీ జీవ గోపాల భక్త దాస రఘునాథ భటరఘునాథ శ్రీజీవ గోపాల భక్త దాసరఘునాథ శ్రీరూప శ్రీ సనాతన భటరఘునాథ శ్రీజీవ గోపాల భక్త దాసరఘునాథ. హరిహరాయ నమో కృష్ణ యాదవాయ నమః యాదవాయ మాధవాయ కేశవాయ నమః. హరిహరాయ నమో కృష్ణ యాదవాయ నమః యాదవాయ మాధవాయ కేశవాయ నమః. హరిహరాయ నమో కృష్ణ యాదవాయ నమః యాదవాయ మాధవాయ కేశవాయ నమః. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరి 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 రామ 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 హరి హరి. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరి 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 రామ 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 హరి హరి. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరి 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 రామ 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 హరి హరి. కృష్ణ కృష్ణ హరి 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 రామ 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 హరి హరి. హరి కృష్ణ 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 హరి 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 రామ 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 హరి హరి. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరి 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 రామ 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 హరి హరి. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరి 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 రామ 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 హరి హరి. రాధా గోకుల నంద రాధా గోకుల నంద రాధే జయ రాధా గోకుల నంద రాధా గోకుల నంద రాధే జయ రాధా గోకుల నంద రాధా గోకుల నంద రాధే. Thank you. जय सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान 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 जय गौरनिताय 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 जय प्रभुपादा जय प्रभुपादा जय प्रभुपादा जय प्रभुपादा जय प्रभुपादा जय प्रभुपादा प्रभुपादा जय प्रभुपादा प्रभुपा प्रभुपा जय जय प्रभुपा जय जय प्रभुपा प्रभुपा जय जय प्रभुपा
जय शुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्री श्रीमान अभय शरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय नित्रिला प्रविष्टोम शुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंद कोड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसीदेवी की भक्तिदेवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्रील प्रभुपाद नमामिश्वपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिति नामिने हस्ते सरस्वदेवं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टम् स्थापिताम् येन भूतले स्वयम् रूपकदा मह्यम् ददादिम् स्वपदान्दियम् वन्देऽहम् श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरुम् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपम् साग्रजातम् सहगणरघुनाथान्वितम् तम् सजीवम् साद्वैतम् सावधूतम् परिजनासहितम् कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधाकृष्णपदाम् सहगणललिताम् श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिकाकान्द राधाकान्द नमोऽस्तु ते ತಪ್ತಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೇ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿ ಪ್ರಿಯೇ. ವಾಂಚಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧೂಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಓಂ ಪಾರ್ಥಾಯ ಪ್ರತಿಬೋಧಿತಾಂ ಭಗವತಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣೇನ ಸ್ವಯಂ ವ್ಯಾಸೇನ ಗ್ರದಿತಾಂ ಪುರಾಣ ಮುನಿನಾಂ ಮಧ್ಯೇ ಮಹಾಭಾರತಂ ಅದ್ವೈತಾಮೃತವರ್ಷಿಣಿಂ ಭಗವತಿಂ ಅಷ್ಟಾದಶಾಧ್ಯಾಯಿನಿಂ ಅಂಬ ತ್ವಾಮನುಸಂಧದಾಮಿ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತೇ ಭವದ್ವೇಷಿಣಿಂ. ನಮೋಸ್ತು ದೇವ್ಯಾಸ ವಿಶಾಲ ಬುದ್ಧೇ ಫುಲ್ಲಾರವಿಂದಾಯತ ಪತ್ರನೇತ್ರ ಯೇನ ತ್ವಯಾ ಭಾರತ ತೈಲಪೂರ್ಣ ಪ್ರಜ್ವಾಲಿತೋ ಜ್ಞಾನಮಯ ಪ್ರದೀಪ. ಪ್ರಪನ್ನ ಪಾರಿಜಾತಾಯ ತೋತ್ರವೇತ್ರೈಕಪಾನಯೇ ಜ್ಞಾನಮುದ್ರಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಗೀತಾಮೃತ ದುಹೇ ನಮಃ. ಸರ್ವೋಪನಿಷದೋ ಗಾವೋ ದುಗ್ಧಾ ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದನ ಪಾರ್ಥೋ ವಲ್ಸ ಸುಧೀರ್ ಭೋಕ್ತ ದುಗ್ಧಂ ಗೀತಾಮೃತಂ ಮಹನ್ ವಸುದೇವ ಸುತಂ ದೇವಂ ಕಂಸಚಾನೂರಮರ್ದನಂ ದೇವಕೀ ಪರಮಾನಂದಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ವಂದೇ ಜಗದ್ಗುರುಂ. ಭೀಷ್ಮದ್ರೋಣತಡಾ ಜಯದ್ರಥ ಜಲ ಗಾಂಧಾರ ನೀಲೋಲ್ಪಲ ಶಲ್ಯಗ್ರಾಹವತೀ ಕೃಪೇನ ವಹನಿ ಕರ್ಣೇನ ವೇಲಾಕುಲ ಅಶ್ವತ್ಥಾಮಾಪಿ ಕರ್ಣಘೋರಮಕರ ದುರ್ಯೋಧನಾವರ್ತಿನಿ ಸೋತ್ತೀರ್ಣ ಖಲು ಪಾಂಡವೈರಣ ನದೀ ಕೈವರ್ತಕ ಕೇಶವಾಂ. ಪಾರಾಶರ್ಯವಜಸ್ಸರೋಜಮಲಂ ಗೀತಾರ್ಥಗಂಧೋಲ್ಕಡಂ ನಾನಾಖ್ಯಾನಕ ಕೇಸರಂ ಹರಿಕಥಾ ಸಂಬೋಧನಾಬೋಧಿತಂ ಲೋಕೈ ಸಜ್ಜನ ಶಲ್ಪದೈರಹರಹ ಪೇಪೀಯಮಾನಂ ಮುದಾ ಭೂಯಾದ್ ಭಾರತ ಭಂಗಜ ಕಲಿಮಲ ಪ್ರಧ್ವಂಸಿನ ಶ್ರೇಯಸೇ. ಮೂಕಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗಂ ಲಂಘಯದೇ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯಲ್ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ. ಯಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾ ವರುಣೇಂದ್ರ ರುದ್ರಮರುದ ಸ್ತ್ವನ್ವಂದಿ ದಿವ್ಯೈ ಸ್ತವೈರ್ ವೇದೈ ಸಾಂಗಪದೈರ್ ಕ್ರಮೋಪನಿಷದೈರ್ ಗಾಯಂದಿ ಯಂ ಸಾಮಗಾಃ. ಧ್ಯಾನಾವಸ್ಥಿ ತದ್ಗದೇನ ಮನಸ ಪಶ್ಯಂದಿ ಯಂ ಯೋಗಿನೋ ಯಸ್ಯಾಂದಂ ನ ವಿದುಸುರಾಸುರಗಣೈ ದೇವಾಯ ತಸ್ಮೈ ನಮಃ. ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀಮತಿ ರಾಧಿಯಾಯೇ ನಮಃ. ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ. So, we were discussing the three modes of material nature in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14. Krishna explains there that the three modes of material nature are the first bondage for a conditioned soul. The bondage begins from there, from the three modes of material nature. After that, Krishna has also spoken about, first, about the Sattvagunam, the mode of goodness. Krishna says there that the Yatra Sattvam Nirmalatval Prakashakam Anamayam Sukha Sankhena Badhnadhi Jnana Sankhena Chanakha. addressing Arjuna as Anakha. Anakha means, he Anakha, Krishna says, or one who is free from sinful reactions, and free from sinful activities. Tatra, because of the three modes of material nature, Nirmalatval. Nirmalatval means that the beauty of Satugunam is just like crystal. It is so transparent. One can see through that. That's the beauty of the Satugunam. Satugunam means no covering for the soul. Or in other words, the consciousness is not covered by Rajogunam and Tamogunam. So, Tatra Satval Nirmalatval. Nirmalatval means that pure consciousness in Satugunam, free from Rajogunam and Tamogunam. Krishna says, Tatra Nirmalatval Prakashakam. Prakashakam means, just like crystal, how it reflects, it is so pure. That same purity is there in the Satugunam. Anamayam. Anamayam means, which is peaceful, harmless. That is the nature of Satugunam. Satugunam is harmless. It does not create any disturbances in this world. So therefore, Krishna calls it as harmless. Anamayam. Satvam. Satvam. Satugunam, the mood of goodness. Sukha Sangena, Jnana Sangena Ja Vedhanadhi. Krishna says Sukha Sangena and Jnana Sangena Vedhanadhi. In other words, Sukha Sangena, in other words, the importance of thing to note here is that the person who is in the mood of pure, mood of goodness, without mixed with passion or ignorance, first of all, Krishna talks about the three modes separately, and then later on, what happens when the modes are mixed? That is spoken later. So Krishna says here, Jnana Sangena, Sukha Sangena and Jnana Sangena, that because of the knowledge, because of the knowledge in the mode of goodness, makes him satisfied with this world. He feels happiness in this world. That is the first symptom of mode of goodness. He is peaceful and satisfied in this world. Particularly, Prabhupada gives the example of the philosophers and also professors and people who are intellectually absorbed, and that intellectual absorption in their professional life, whatever they do, they derive a certain degree of satisfaction from that. But due to that satisfaction, they feel that they are doing something very constructive as far as their life is concerned, and they feel some they feel that they are achieving something in their life. And because they are free from severe sinful activities, they are not affected by that either. So there is a degree of goodness in them, which happens in the... But Shastra is saying, Bhagavad Gita is saying, it binds you. Sukha Sanghena. That Sukham is a bondage. That's what Krishna is saying. Sukha Sanghena Bedhnadi. It binds you. Because the moment you start feeling happiness in this material world, there is something wrong. That is the first realization one has to come understand from Bhagavad Gita. That in several instances Krishna has spoken this. Krishna said that one should realize this anityam asukham logam imam prape bhajasvamam. There is nothing you can do about this material world. This place is not going to change. We all come here with the intention, desire, and people make big, big ideas that they will change this world. And this has been going on from time immemorial. We don't know when. Its history goes back to such a long time, changing the world. Everybody talks about changing the world. But in one instance in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Canto 12, when you see there, Bhumi Devi, Mother Earth, talks about this. She herself had to speak. She said, how many people had come here in this world? They have all walked over my chest. That's what she says. She says, they walked over my chest. And she included a range of people. Great, great kings, emperors, and great personalities, they all had come here with the intention of controlling her. And she says, at the end, they all dropped dead on right on my chest only. And that's what she said. So this is how Bhumi Devi puts it. She says, they were walking, they wanted to control me, and at the end, they dropped dead on right on my own chest. So this is the unfortunate situation. In fact, all these things are a lot more in detail discussed in the Bhagavatam, where we will see later. The Mimamsakas and the people who have a lot of faith in Karmakandam, they have a lot of faith in Karmakandam. And those people will argue very fiercely about the necessity to execute karmam with the intention of being happy in this world. At the end, happiness comes from karmam. Karmam is the driving force behind it. So they say the necessity to execute karmam according to the Vedic injunctions. Krishna says, even if you may execute according to Vedic injunctions, still you may not be happy in this world. That is the point Krishna is trying to point out. Because it is at that point Krishna says that, at one point he says, Akhadam Iyamanasya Vadya Sevana Toshtida. Krishna says, one who is hanging on his life, ready to be hanged at any time, for him, whatever you offer at the end of the day, he is going to be hung. Isn't it? Akhadam Iyamanasya Vadya Sevana Toshtida. What happiness he will have in this world? Krishna asked that question. When Karmagandis, particularly the Mimamsakas, when they put forward all these arguments, anyone who hears that, you will get convinced by that. That's how strong it is. But when you hear Krishna's arguments against that, they will run from there. They won't stay one inch there anymore. Because that's powerful is Krishna's position in these things. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, when he speaks from the real point of view. What is actually the situation with the conditioned soul, where he stands at the moment. That akhadaniyamanasya vadyasya evana tushtida. That what is a happiness for a person when he is going to be eventually separated from his body and then he has to accept another body. Is that a very favorable thing? Krishna asked there at that time. So similarly, here also, this happiness from sukham, sukha sangena, how you are bound in the sattugunam, and jnana sangena, when you are bound in the, with the knowledge. The knowledge also is sometimes troublesome. Especially the knowledge on the material level is also very troublesome. That's what Krishna is mentioning here. So, sukha sanghena and jnana sanghena badhanadi, it binds you in that way. Once you start feeling that everything is fine in this world and feels happy about it, then there will not be much interest or much desire for cultivating spiritual life either. That is the result of that. Desire for spiritual life also will go away at that time. So that is why Sattvagunam binds us in this way. And if we are aware of that, then one can understand that importance of staying transcendental to everything. Transcendental to everything. In fact, this is, you can easily see also from the Vedic point of view, how you look at it. Those who are in Sattvagunam and those who are in Rajogunam and those who are in Tamogunam, they have to be instructed also in three different ways. Otherwise it will not work. If you start saying to people who are in the mode of Tamogunam, all the high principles of Vedic philosophy, they will not understand that. So for them, the instruction is in a different way. And for those who are in Rajogunam, they also have to be instructed in a different way. Similarly, those who are in Sattvagunam also have to be instructed in a different way. Those who are in Sattvagunam, for them, good advice will work. Because they have that purity inside. They don't have that the lower qualities, the base qualities of the material life. So therefore, to them, direct instruction of the Shastras will have some effect, will have the effect on them. For those who are in the Rajogunam, in the mode of passion, they have to be instructed in a different way, in the sense that they have to be encouraged, they have to be glorified, and they have to be spoken about the positive things that will come out of it, in a way that will attract them to it. Otherwise, they will not come to it. Because Rajogunam is so strong, driven by kamam and krodham, lust and anger. When these things are inside, they also will not be able to accept the instructions of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. So they are instructed in a different way. In a way that is positive. They have to be spoken of, they have to be glorified of their wonderful deeds and spiritual life. Only then they will do something. They have to be told how advanced they are. They have to be told all the time by their service how Krishna is pleased. All these things are necessary. Otherwise, because of the Rajogunam, they will not accept it. So, they are instructed in a different way. Those who are in Tamogunam, they have to be instructed in another way by frightening them. That's the only way they will take the spiritual life. So, in different situations, according to the modes of material nature, the instructions also has to change. For Sattvagunam, those who are in Sattvagunam, they do not require much of a logic and reasoning. They can see, as soon as they study Bhagavad Gita, they will see the point what Krishna is making. And they will also look outside. Outside, they can analyze this world. And from there, they can also come to some proper conclusions because of the mode of goodness. So they don't require such deeper understanding. But rajogunam and tamogunam requires a different way of attracting them to spiritual life. For rajogunis also, this kind of advice won't help. For them, they require glorification. Every world has to know about their spiritual life. The whole world has to know what they have done for Krishna. And in that way, different things for according to the different position of the conditioned soul. That's what Krishna is saying here. That sugasagyena bedhnadi jnana sanghena chanakha, Krishna says to Arjuna. Then in the next verse, referring to the rajogunam, what does Krishna says? Then the problem with this happiness is that actually you are feeling something is a happy situation, although you are not really happy, that you feel as though you are happy. Some kind of false feeling comes from the happiness. And the ignorance is still covering you in the form of sattugunam. And you link the soul with unnatural happiness. That's what is happening. The soul has its own happiness, which is not dependent on material elements. It is in reference to that it is spoken. Traigunyal bhinna bhedam bhavadihi bhuvani hina madhyottamam yajnanam shraddha jagarta vasadir abhisugam karma jagara vedah. That traigunyal bhinna bhedam, because of the three modes of material nature, bhavadihi bhuvani, in this world, hinam madhyam uttamam, there is the hina means the low class, and the middle one, the middle way, and then the upper one. Hina madhyottamam cha jnanam shraddha jagarta vasadir abhisukham karma chakara vedah. Krishna says that madhyottamam yat jnanam, the knowledge is also under the three modes of material nature. Please remember that. The knowledge what you receive, even from Shastram, is also dependent on the three modes of material nature. Jnanam Shraddha cha. Shraddha, once Shraddha means the seriousness in accepting that. Shraddha cha kartaha. Karta means the doer. He is also in the three modes of material nature. Jnanam Shraddha cha kartaha. Vasati, the place where he lives, is under the three modes of material nature. Vasadir abhisukham, and the happiness he is experiencing from that is also under the three modes of material nature. Krishna says like that. Traigunyal bhinna bhedam bhavadihi bhuvani hina madhyottamam yajnanam shraddha chakarta karta ajra abhisukham karma, and his activities also karma jagara vedah. They are all under the modes, three modes of material nature. So as long as one is constantly thinking about the modes of material nature, it will help a person to understand that it is the modes of nature that is working in us. It is not that what we make the decision is happening. What is actually, in fact, it is carried out by the three modes of material nature. Rajo ragalpagam vidhi trishna sanga samalbhavam tannibhadna adikaundeya karma sangena dehinam. Then, what is actually happened in the sattugunam is, in sattugunam you have experiencing something and you are accepting it as happiness. Why? It is not, although it has nothing to do with the soul, you identify that with the soul. This is the mistake in sattugunam. When the happiness is coming in this world, instead of experiencing the real happiness which has to originate from the soul, unmistakenly the happiness from the senses, as happiness from the mind, is accepted as happiness, and there you are driven in the wrong direction by the mode of goodness. That's where it happens. So that's why Krishna is saying like that. Atma dharma, that atma dharma means that when the senses are in contact with the modes of nature, senses are in contact with the sense objects, senses are in contact with the sense objects, certain kind of happiness comes from there. There is no doubt about that. But if one starts mistakenly think that that happiness has come from, or not, it's not necessary from the sense objects, even sometimes many material objects gives pleasure to us, isn't it? Many material objects gives pleasure to us. At all that time, even while walking through a nice park with full of flowers, all blossoming, and you enjoy the beauty of the flowers and so many things, and at that time you feel this world is not a bad place, isn't it? Similarly, and that is why we always look for some nice place to sit, or nice place to go for a walk, or a nice place to meet with each other. Why is this nice place we are looking for? Because we feel that at that time we feel more peaceful about that. And that is Sattvagunam. That is where Sattvagunam is misleading us. We start mistakenly think that, but Krishna is saying here, do not forget the fact that janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. Those four problems are still there, whether you are in Sattvagunam or Rajogunam or Tamogunam. So, while discussing the three modes of material nature, Krishna has explained about the Sattvagunam first, how Sattvagunam binds us to this world. Secondly, from Rajogunam, Krishna says, Hey Kaundeya, Rajo Ragalpagam Vidhi Krishna Sangha Samalbhavam, Tanni Vedranadi Kaundeya, Karma Sangena Dehinam. Hey Kaundeya, son of Kundi Devi, Krishna is addressing Arjuna. Rajaha, this quality called Rajogunam, Krishna says, Ragalpagam. Ragalpagam means it has got one nature in that. It creates desires inside. That is the beauty of Rajogunam. Rajogunam is nothing but desires building up inside. As soon as one is under the modes of passion or Rajogunam, desire starts building up inside. Rajo Ragalpagam. Ragalpagam. Ragalpagam means constantly desires coming inside. How? Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam. What is the type of this desire that builds up? Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam. Trishna means it is constantly building up in things which you cannot get it, in that desire to have them. Trishna means that. Trishna means to have things which you do not have at the moment, but desire to acquire them. That is the Trishna means. And those things what you have already got, attachment to that. Both ways it works. It gets attached to things what one do not have. It gets attached to things what one has, and it builds up desires for things what he doesn't have. So that's why it's called Trishna Sangha Samulbhavam. Then Krishna says, Vidhi, please know that, Krishna says, Tal, that Rajogunam, Karma Sangena, Karma Sangena. Immediately the desires builds up inside, it turns into action. Immediately it turns into action. Karma Sangena, Karmam, that desire for executing Karmam begins at that point. That is why Karmam and Rajogunam are very closely linked. Very closely linked. And in the human society, when human society, even at the time of creation itself, is such that the rajogunaha karma varaha, that is how Bhagavadam says about this. The karma varam, that human society cannot stay quietly. It has to be engaged in activity. That rajogunaha karma varaha, then sukheja sukhamanina. And although the results of this activity is karma, what he performs is all unhappiness at the end, but still he feels happy in that situation. This is the maya. This is the illusion what the living entity has to fight with. Look at the way how rajogunam functions. Rajogunam makes a person feel that rajodigaha karma varaha, karma varam, and endless activities one after the other. Dukhe cha sukhamanina, and the result of all that is dukham, because we do not know. Srimad Bhagavatam says about this a lot in detail. Srimad Bhagavatam says like this, that karmam cannot be stopped. Karmam will have to be there, because that is the very nature of the living entity. Rajodigaha karma varaha. So, because karmam has to be performed, it is such a dangerous thing that if you do not stick to the law of dharma or religiosity, religious principles, what will happen? He will execute adharmam. He will execute adharmam. The result of adharma means what? Sinful activities. That is what will come out of that. Sinful activities means generating new material bodies again. Because karma vasana will build up inside. The propensities will build up inside. And the result of those propensities means more sinful activities, more sinful bodies, going further down in the cycle of birth and death. So that is why it is said that karmam has to be performed, but that karmam should be performed with dharmam. Otherwise, it will cause problem. That is why so much stress is given on dharma for this reason. So much stress is given on dharma for this reason. After executing that dharmam, how that dharmam should purify a person.
That is when karma yoga comes. When the same dharma, when one is executing according to the injunctions of the shastra, when one's karma becomes based on dharma, and when that dharma is directed towards Krishna's pleasure, it becomes bhakti. That becomes devotion. That is Krishna consciousness means. So, in order to elevate a living entity from his conditioned state, Krishna has laid out these rules in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna has spoken in detail in chapters 3, 4 and 5 in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Ekadasi Skandham later on, how important it is to adhere to these rules. If one does not stick to the rules and start twisting and changing everything, then it will be a waste of time. It will not have any effect. It will be as bad as the state of people who are executing work without any principles. So, Shastram is meant to give us the correct direction, the proper direction to go. That's why Krishna is saying here, karma sangena, vidhidal karma sangena, karma sangena, drishtam and adrishtam. That means, so much karma is performed. And in order that we feel ourselves released from that karma, karma binds us, no question about that. Every karma binds us. But if that karma is directed towards Krishna, we are released from the cycle of birth and death. That is where, when our repetitive birth and death stops. Up to that point, this has to go on. Whatever activities we are doing in this world, if it is not linked to Krishna, if it is not connected with Krishna, then we have to accept another material body. Krishna does not require anything from us. We must remember that. But the Shastra is such that Krishna has given us the clue of how to escape from this repetitive cycle of birth and death. That is the important point here. That Rajogunam binds us to this world. In mode of fashion, when one executes karmam, it binds us. Karma sangenam dehinam nibadhnadi. Dehinam means the soul which has got a material body, he is bound by that, Krishna says. Krishna says it's bound by that. So earlier, Krishna said, jnana sanghena and sukha sanghena, through happiness and knowledge, the mode of goodness binds us. In this verse, in Rajogunam, the mode of passion binds us through karmam and the attachment. And result of that will be, I am the doer, builds up very strongly inside. Kartratvam and Bhoktratvam it's called. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer of the results. You can see that people who are in the mode of passion, unless they are recognized for their heroic activities or their service, it is that abhimanam or the pride that comes from that will put them into difficulties. That is why Bhoktratvam is there. On the other hand, every karma is meant for freeing ourselves from this conditioned state. So how can one get freed when one is constantly thinking about, I am the doer? Kartratvam comes there, and Bhoktratvam also, I am the enjoyer, comes there. So those two things Krishna is mentioning here. Rajo raga alpagam vidhi, trishna sanga samalbhavam, tan nibhadhnadi kaundeya, karma sangena dehinam, tamastajna. Then Krishna also says here that this is in with reference to the mode of ignorance. Krishna says that tamastajnana jam vidhi mohanam sarvadehinam pramada alasa nidravi stannibhadna adhibharadam. The tamastajnana jam vidhi mohanam sarvadehinam pramada alasa nidravi stannibhadna adhibharada. He Bharada, Krishna says to Arjuna, tamogunam, Krishna says, ajnanajam. It has come from ajnanajam. Ajnanajam means ignorance. It was born from ignorance, ajnanajam. Then sarvadehinam, for all living entities. For all living entities, it has come from ignorance. Mohanam. Mohanam means it creates delusion in one's mind. It creates delusion in one's mind. Vidhi. Know that, Krishna says. That tamogunam, Krishna says, that that pramad, alasya, nidrabi, three things, pramadam, alasyam and nidra. What are these? Pramadam means misunderstanding. Misunderstanding means that not allowing one to see things in the proper way. Not allowing things to one to see in the proper way. We'll give you one example for that to make it a little bit more easier to understand. Often in tamogunam, when we are in tamogunam, Even if things were spoken, we will take it in the wrong way.
That is the nature of tamogunam. We'll take it in the wrong way.
Once, a father and a son, they used to go to a park very often. And in the park, there was one statue of a freedom fighter who was very well known. Very well known freedom fighter. So, the father was very fond of this freedom fighter. So, when they installed the statue of this freedom fighter, they have installed in such a way that as though he was a fighter who fought very violently against the authorities for freedom. So they installed his statue in such a way that he was riding a horse, and sitting on the horse he was riding, and that was the statue. So every evening the father and son used to go to the park to spend some time there. And father will see the statue, he used to feel pride in that. But the son did not know much about it, about this freedom fighting or whatever that was going on at that time. He had no connection with it. Now and then he will ask, who's this on the horse? So father will feel very proud about it. Father was feeling great pleasure that son was asking such a nice question about the freedom fighting, what he has done. So he will explain everything to him. But the son could not catch it, whatever father was saying, because it was beyond his understanding. He could not even understand what this freedom is all about. But father was injecting this into his mind very strongly, how important it is to have the freedom and what they did for fighting for the freedom, this, that and the other, all many things. But son was always looking at the statue, and his mind was always absorbed in the horse. He was more attracted by the horse. The way the horse was carved and the way the horse was standing in a galloping position with two legs up and ready to jump. He was all attracted to the horse more than the personality on the horse. Many days they came to the park. He kept on telling the son about the person who was on the top of the horse. And the son was always thinking about the horse most of the time. This is how it happens. So eventually one day, the father had to go from that city to another place. He has to move away. He has to move away to another place. So when he had to move that evening, the day before that, they went to that park again. The father says to the son, I don't think, my dear son, we'll be coming here again because I'm going on a transfer to another city far away. And there is no possibility of coming here. So, you remember this, I have talked to you so many times about this, he said. So, the son's question was, Daddy, who is sitting on that horse, he says to him. So, this is tamogunam. Tamogunam is like that. That so many days you have heard so many things, but you have understood so many different things in your mind. And this is the way tamogunam works. This is the way tamogunam works. So, actually you can see, it's not only in children, it also happens in adults also. Many times you speak for so many things from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and you hear all that, but when you come back, you have not grasped the point, what Krishna was saying there. You have misunderstood everything. What can you do? What can you do? Krishna says, Jnanam and Vairagyam is necessary for bhakti. He says, what Vairagyam is necessary for? We'll make a lot of money and please Krishna with that. That's also we can think like that, isn't it? As though Krishna is waiting there for all this. Krishna says, in order to go progress on the spiritual path, bhakti is the mother, Jnanam Vairagyam are the two children, isn't it? Jnanam Vairagyam are the two children. So the symptom of devotion developing in a person is, first the mother comes, so mother is bhakti. So if the mother is inside, you can say, properly situated inside, the two other things, knowledge and renunciation, must be there. It has to be there. If those two things are not there, you can take it, there is no bhakti also inside. This is what it means. The mother, who is bhakti, Jnanam and Vairagyam in the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned in the Skanda Puranam, while introducing Srimad Bhagavatam, the glories of Bhagavatam, it speaks like that, how Bhakti Devi was put into difficult situation in Vrindavanam, where she was a young lady with two old sons, and they were Jnanam and Vairagyam in the Bhagavatam. So, that Bhagavatam Ahalmyam, the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, is indicating to us this, that if bhakti is inside, jnanam and vairagyam will be there in a person. If jnanam and vairagyam is not there, then you can take it that the bhakti is also is missing there. Or if there is some bhakti, it is a different kind of bhakti than what is spoken by Krishna. So that is how you know these things. Now similarly, here you can see that tamogunam also is misleading. Tamogunam is very misleading. That is what it is called, pramadam. Pramadam is called because of this reason, misunderstanding things. How easily we can mislead ourselves by our own mind. Mind will give us some wrong understanding that although Shastra may say something, we will understand it in the wrong way. So that is pramadam. Alasya means, alasya means laziness. Basically that's what it is, laziness. Everything can wait, no rush. What's the urgency? We'll think about it, we'll see tomorrow, keep it for another next month. If we can carry on for a while like this, what's wrong? This is alasyam. Not able to make up the decision, make up the mind at the proper time, and not able to think about all these things, and becomes, and of course, nidra. Nidra means some people you can see, some people, they just cannot sit 5 minutes without sleeping. As soon as they sit down, they'll fall asleep. That's the position. And sometimes you can also notice, even in railway stations, airports, big businessmen, they'll be traveling, they'll come, they'll stand there and sleep. Standing they sleep, holding the bag, and they still think, oh, I got a few minutes, I can have a quick nap. It's nothing but that tamogunam is coming up inside. That's what it is. It's nothing to do with the business or anything like that. It's a tamogunam inside, strongly influencing a person. So, like that, even when you travel in the train, you can look at people. You will see the difference between a rajogunam and tamogunam. The man with rajogunam, if you see him, how he buys the newspaper, just at the last second, he'll push the news, pull the newspaper and run to the train. And after sitting in the train, 2 minutes, he'll look at the paper and throw it on the side. It's finished for him. It doesn't need any. Tamogunam even look at the paper. He look through the shoulder if somebody else has bought the newspaper. Because he's so lazy even to get a newspaper. He will just look if he can find somewhere else a free reading. So like this, all the differences in this nature of the Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam you will notice. Even when you get up in the morning, if you look at Tamogunam and Rajogunam and Sattugunam, you will see the difference. The one in tamogunam, he will wake up, but then he'll fall back again into sleep. He wants a little bit more time to wake up. He takes time, a lot of time to get up from the bed. Why? Because the tamogunam is strongly controlling. Or even if he gets up, he'll fall back into the bed again. That's tamogunam. Rajogunam, better not to say anything. It is so fast from the bed that there's no time to think anything. It's all done, but it's all done at the last minute, just to get to work on time. That's Rajogunam. And similarly, when they go to bed also, if you look at them, you'll see the difference. The man in Sattugunam, he'll be peaceful while going into bed. He will have properly everything done. Rajogunam tries to avoid the sleep as much as he can, because he has so much work to do. That is his problem. The Rajogunam, the one who is in Rajogunam, he will always thinking, I have so much to do, I have no time to sleep. He's so busy. But the one in tamogunam, he won't even change his clothes. He'll go to bed with the same clothes on. That is the nature of tamogunam. He has no time to change the clothes, nor he has got the enthusiasm to do it either. So lacking from every side, he just, whole day he has been working, goes into bed, puts the quilts on and goes to sleep. Why does he need to change these things? This is a waste of time. So that's how the tamoguni sees that. Rajogunam sees sleep as just a waste of time. He has that kind of realization such, but he's thinking, where can I make more money somewhere else if I am awake? That's how his mind is working. Person in Sattugunam is thinking that body needs the rest. So a certain amount of sleep is necessary for that clarity of mind and for the peaceful function of the body. So that way, Sattugunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam will act on a person in three different levels. And everyday activity, if you take the way they eat, the way they sleep, and all the other activities also, if you notice, you will see that it makes a huge difference in their behavior. And this is all the modes of nature that is causing that. That's what Krishna is saying here. The pramadalasya nidravi dehinam nibhadnadi pramadam, alasyam, nidra. Three things: misunderstanding, laziness, and sleep. These things binds a person in mode of ignorance, Krishna says here. And this tamogunam, Krishna says, has come from, originated from ignorance. Ignorance is a cause of that. And because of that, all living entities are not able to discriminate things properly. And because it's always bound by pramadam, alasyam and nidra. And the tamogunam is so strongly goes inside that a person cannot anymore experience any happiness in life. You can see also, if you ask a tamoguni, a person in tamogunam, you ask him, how is life? He will say, it's going on like this, what can I do? Always helpless condition. Always saying, what can I do? It is going on, I mean, it's not going to change, is it? He'll be so much negative in life. There is no happiness in life for him because of this tamogunam. Always thinking like that in a very, very depressed state. Always very depressed state. That is the nature of the tamogunam. And he has no hope also that it is going to change one day. He knows that he has to work to get things done, but he won't do anything about it. That is the nature of tamogunam. He also is also aware that in order to have happiness in life, one has to work for it. And that working has to be on a spiritual platform. Forget about spiritual platform. Even on a material platform, he doesn't want to do any work. So what is the question of working on the spiritual platform doesn't arise. Question doesn't arise. So that is why, for such people who are in such deep ignorance in tamogunam, for them, talking to them about spiritual life is waste of time. That is what Krishna is saying. Don't talk to them about spiritual life. It's just waste of time. At least they should come to the mode of passion, to rajogunam. Even if they come to mode of passion, to rajogunam, there is some possibility of changing. Because in rajogunam, at least he is active. That such a deep-rooted ignorance doesn't exist, like in the tamogunam. So you can imagine now how this problem kills us. When we perform sinful activities, and we have to accept lower bodies. Lower bodies means lower existences. You don't have to go to even to hellish planets. It in this very world, we can experience that. In the lower species of life, even in the human body, with bodies which are in ignorance, even there we are at disadvantage. Isn't it? We are at a disadvantage. Because then it takes a long time for us to come up to the satvagunam. Come to satvagunam before any of these Bhagavad Gita can have any impact on a person. So, from a Shastri point of view, satvagunam alone is desirable. At least in satvagunam. If one cultivates satvagunam, there is a possibility of understanding spiritual life. It's a possibility of understanding spiritual life. That's why it's spoken like this. Traigunyal bhinna bhedam bhavadihi bhuvanehina madhyotamam yet jnanam shraddha jakarta vasadirabhisukham karma chakarya bhedaha. That differences one will able to discriminate properly in the satvagunam. That is the greatest advantage in satvagunam. At least if we come to satvagunam, we can understand what is spiritual life. And then beyond all these three modes of material nature exist, what is Krishna's nature, transcendental nature or nirgunam state. That therefore, it is said like this, that the three modes of material nature, if one understands properly, and one comes to the mood of goodness, sattvam sattvena chaivahi, that sattvagunam also one has to overcome with sattvagunam. That is how it is. That will come in the Bhagavatam much later. We'll discuss that. So, here, that tamogunam, which has come from ignorance, that also binds a person. That the in all these things what we have spoken so far, that means sattvagunam, rajogunam and tamogunam, which we have spoken separately, Krishna is now saying to us in a very condensed way. Sattvam sukhe sanjayadi raja karmani bharada jnanamavrutyadutama pramade sanjayatyudaha. Hey Bharata, addressing Arjuna, Krishna is saying, hey Bharata, sattvam, sattva means the mode of goodness, sattva gunam, sukhe, in happiness, sukhe means in happiness, rajaha, rajogunam, karmani, in karmam, sattvam in sukham, and rajam, rajas in karmam, sanjayadi, binds a person, But Krishna says, Tamaha tu. But this Tamogunam, Krishna says, Jnanam avritya, covers the knowledge. It covers the knowledge. Pramade uta sanjayati. It brings pramadam. Pramadam means this misunderstanding comes in. And tamogunam brings the misunderstanding. So sattugunam binds in happiness, rajogunam binds in karmam, and tamogunam brings the, covers the knowledge. Tamogunam covers the knowledge. Pramadam. Therefore, sattvam, the worst of all these three things, sattvam, rajas and tamas, Krishna is saying there that the tamogunam is the most disturbing, most dangerous thing, because it covers the individual's spiritual identity, his swarupam. Swarupam means his own identity is covered by the tamogunam, by the tamogunam. Pramadam also means not doing things what is to be done immediately. Things what is to be done, not doing it. That is tamogunam. It is tamogunam that is stopping a person from doing it, because he starts thinking that, oh, I can do things later. What is the urgency for that? This way one starts thinking. So, that is that. Then, rajastamaschabhibhuyam sattvam bhavati bharada rajasattvam tamaschaiva tamasattvam rajastadhaha. In the next verse, Krishna is saying, hey Bharada, O Bharada, Arjuna, sattvam, sattvagunam, the mode of goodness, rajaha, rajogunam, tama cha eva, tamogunam also. In other words, what sattvagunam sometimes, Krishna says, abhibhuyam, it covers, that means in a person, sometimes, sattvagunam can cover rajogunam and tamogunam. In other words, sattvagunam predominates at that time. Bhavadi works in a person sometimes like that. Sattvagunam pushes rajogunam and tamogunam down and comes up in a person's life. Similarly, sometimes rajogunam stops sattvam and tamogunam. Sattvam and tamacha both rejects sattvagunam and tamogunam and predominates a person's mind. Abhibhuya bhavati. Tadha tamaha sattvam rajaja abhibhuya bhavati. Similarly, tamogunam also sometimes push rajogunam and sattvagunam out and takes over a person's life. So, you can see the way it happens in a person's life. And that you have to analyze yourself, that how these different modes, for example, in the morning when you wake up and after you have practiced some sadhana, in spiritual sadhana, particularly the chanting the holy name, or reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and have purified your mind, at that time sattvagunam predominates, isn't it? Sattvagunam predominates in a person. Naturally it has to, because of the association with Bhagavatam and association with the holy name, it will purify a person. Because Krishna is transcendental, holy name is non-different from Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is different, non-different from Krishna. So, due to association with the holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam, one feels purified, and that time sattvagunam predominates in a person. You go to office, spend a few hours traveling there or working with people who are always looking at you from the back, and giving you all kinds of bad association that comes from that, which is, you will see by middle of the day, that consciousness what you had in the morning is gone, is not there anymore. Then you have become very conscious about so many other things in this world. When the morning, when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, or when you were chanting the holy name, you had some desire to develop spiritual life. But by lunchtime, that desire has gone. On the other hand, you are more concerned about the life in this world. At that time, it becomes the top priority then. Spiritual life can wait at that time. By evening, when one comes home, it is more or less certain that there will be no desire to open up Srimad Bhagavatam, but you'll be very quick to get onto the television. Why? By then, the tamogunam has taken over so strongly by the person's mind. So, sattvam, rajas and tamas, due to association alone, it can happen in this way. This is the reason why it is said that one has to be watchful about it. Even though Prabhupada used to give the example that you have to live in this world, but you have to know how to fish without getting wet, he said. It is the same thing with the three modes of nature also. Even when we have to deal with the three modes of nature, to be situated in Sattvagunam and not to be affected by Rajogunam and Tamogunam is important. Because Rajogunam and Tamogunam, if it takes over, then our progress in spiritual path also is diminished. It does not happen. Morning, it is like the elephant's bathing. In the morning you are bathing. And like the elephant, when it is bathed, immediately it goes and throws dust all over his body, isn't it? And then you have to, the man who was bathing the elephant, he feels very depressed about that. It's the same way that when you are building up Sattvagunam inside, you have to guard against those things which are bringing Rajogunam and Tamogunam in. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is saying certain ways to live in this world, how to exclude oneself from the influence of Rajogunam and Tamogunam. Those things are there spoken only for our benefit to know that what is Sattvaguna means, what is Rajoguna means, what is Tamoguna means. If you allow the Tamoguna to build up inside, in due course of time, you will fall from your spiritual life. Spiritual activities will go away from a person. That is what Krishna is saying here. Then, in these verses, particularly in the three modes of material nature, there is a lot to think about. And there's a lot to keep always being alert about it. Sattvam rajastama iti guna prakriti sambhava nibadhanandi mahabaho dehe dehe namavyayam. Krishna has said that before. Then Krishna says that sattvam sukhe sanjayadi raja karmani bharada jnana mavartyada dama pramade sanjayatyada. Now, how these different modes of material nature works in a person, Krishna explains there that all the three modes of material nature expands in a person. All the modes of material nature expands in a person. And in a natural way, the conditioned soul gets a desire for enjoyment, for happiness. That's a natural thing. This is why that desire comes to a person. Why such a desire comes to a person to be happy? Because originally we had happiness from the soul. That happiness is gone now. But reflection of that, the experience of that happiness from the soul in the past still exists in the consciousness. You see, that happiness what one has experienced from the soul, Atmanandam it is called, Brahma Sukham, Bhagavatam gives different words for that. All these did exist one time in the soul. And although we have changed so many times the bodies, that very ray of happiness that was there in the spiritual identification with the spirit soul, a spiritual body, or in the spiritual identity, still is following us. That is why that desire for happiness is coming. Desire for happiness is still coming to us. Why we are not desiring something else? We all want to be happy in this world, isn't it? So why is this desire coming to us? Why there is no desire coming to be miserable? Why is that? That is only because in our previous times, before we have come to this particular body, at some point in time, we have experienced the happiness of the soul or the Brahmasukham. And that has followed us. As much as the bad vasanas has followed us, the good vasanas have also come with us. Whatever we have experienced, it will follow us in some way or the other. So Krishna is saying here, because of that jiva, living entity, is looking for happiness in this world. And that happiness develops into turning into objects, material life, in the material world, to material objects. And that is where things go wrong. So happiness is not in the material terms, like we say that happiness is in eating, or happiness is in drinking, happiness is in sleeping, or happiness is in any other objects, like in the car, television, or any other electronic goods, and so many things when you see, trying to derive happiness out of it. But Krishna is saying here, that happiness what you have experienced from the soul, you are not trying to extract it from these objects, which will not happen. So therefore, that was the cause of this, one must remember, Krishna says. When that desire is there, and that particular modes of nature expands within, then immediately turns into action, or in other words, Rajogunam. Immediately turns into action. And that is where Rajogunam takes over. That, and then the desire starts one after the other. I want this, I want this, I want this, I want everything. So that desire builds up from there. And once the desire builds up, then the effort starts building up. The activity starts then, isn't it? To get it at any cost. And after some time, once his effort is started inside and he started receiving, some of them he will achieve obviously. Everything is not going to get it. But he will get some things out of it from his efforts also. But after some time, he's not getting happiness from that also. He's not getting any happiness from the material objects. When he's not getting any happiness from that material objects, then he will build up happiness in some other objects. He'll move from one object to another. If it's not car, it's another house. If it's not a house, another television. It's not television, something else. So many things, different. Or on a nice holiday to Barbados or Florida or somewhere else. If Barbados is not good, Florida is better. Florida is not good, go to Spain again. If nothing is good, go to Australia. Like this, running around all over. Where is this running around coming from? Running around is a real symptom of a soul, of a person. It is said, in the Bhagavad Gita speaks about that, this desire to travel all over the world and desire to extract happiness is also a symptom of the modes of nature in him. He's not getting happiness in this place. He's thinking, if I go there, I may get it there. If he doesn't get it, he'll go somewhere else. So, change the holidays every year from one destination to another. Accordingly, the industry also builds up packages for you to travel to different destinations. And every time you come back, this year didn't get happiness in Spain, let me try the happiness next year in Florida. That's the next option, isn't it? And work for that the whole next year. So Rajogunam will keep you busy for the 48 weeks and Tamogunam will keep you busy for the remaining 4 weeks in life. So 52 weeks gone that year. Another one more year finished in life. That's the benefit. So, Sattvam Sukhe Sanjayadi Rajakarmani Bharada Jnanama Vrutyadutamam Pramade Sanjayatyudaham. That when he's not getting, when these desires are building up inside, karmam has to increase. Karmam cannot stop because desire means it has to manifest. How does the desire manifest? Desire manifests in the form of karmam. Isn't it? Desire means karmam. Karmam means what? Karmam means bondage. Karma means bondage. So you can see how the three modes of material nature is so closely linked with our mind, with our activities, karma, and how we are simply being played by the modes all the time. That is why it's important to study Bhagavad Gita, particularly this chapter. Krishna is saying it's so important to know the role of the three modes of material nature. Then karma starts. Once the karmam starts, what's the next thing? You want the result from the karmam. Otherwise, what's the point in doing karmam? One has to get the result. So the results has to come. If the results don't come, then what happens? If he is in Rajogunam, it will develop into krotham, anger. Anger builds up inside. And slowly he slips down further, goes down into tamogunam. And once he comes to tamogunam, there is no possibility of knowing that there is no happiness in this world, because it is so deep-rooted. Tamogunam is so deep-rooted that knowledge also will not go in. When a person is in tamogunam, no point, even if you tell them the right thing and give the proper direction from Bhagavadam or Bhagavad Gita, still he will say, I am unable to do it. I can't do it, he says. Whatever you have said is all good, he says, but I can't do it. That's how they will answer that question. Because of that increased tamogunam inside. This is what we are fighting. We are thinking our enemies are outside. Actually, all our enemies are inside. This is the difference. We are thinking somebody is, he is my enemy, she is my enemy, I have to finish him, I have to finish her so that I can be happy. But unfortunately, Bhagavad Gita is saying, you are looking for your enemy in the wrong place. That wrong enemy is this tamogunam inside. That is pushing you to act in a particular way. And when deeply controlled by tamogunam, all the decisions what you make will also go wrong. Everything will go wrong. It will be wrong because you are not even understood what the problem is and where the problem is. You see? So that is why constantly one has to analyze the effect of sattvam, rajas and tamas in a person. And that is what all this chapter is about. Krishna wouldn't have spoken about it so much in detail. There is nothing in this world without the three modes of material nature. Everything
is under the three modes of material nature. Even the color is based on three modes of material nature. Not only the color, Krishna also talks about the, we gave the example earlier, the three different animals. Look at the cow, look at the horse, and look at the buffalo. All three different animals, three different modes of nature. From their activities you can see. Similarly, the man who is drinking the cow milk also, he will act in one way. The man who is drinking the buffalo milk, he will also act in a different way. That tamogram will follow him also. This is why we say we should drink our milk, not for any other reason. Otherwise, buffalo milk is a lot cheaper. But because of the cow milk's quality of developing that sattvagunam in a person, sattvagunam is essential to understand Krishna consciousness. That is why it's spoken about it in that way. Then, when the tamogunam expands in a person, he would not understand any of these things. And the nature of tamogunam is always misunderstanding. So much misunderstanding in a person's life. Therefore, no matter when the tamogunam is very strongly controlling a person, how much time he spends in studying the Vedic literature, it will have hardly any effect on him. It will hardly have any effect on him. He won't be able to separate himself from that. He will read Bhagavatam mechanically. He will read Bhagavad Gita mechanically. But he will not grasp the message, what's coming from that. So, what is the best method to get out of these three gunam? That is also another interesting thing, isn't it? The easiest process in the age of Kali is to chant Krishna's holy names. If one chants holy name, as long as one is feeling the effect of tamogunam, before he goes further down, if he takes to the holy name seriously, in many, many situations, one will get able to discriminate between the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance easily. And he will not be disturbed by the lower modes of nature in that way. Then the nature of the nature of tamogunam is, once he goes into sense gratification, he will continue to engage in that way. And not only that, when the tamogunam, rajogunam is expanded in a person, he will be very, very attached to material sense gratification and attached to material objects. And all that is inside is desires and desires, one after the other. Then, in the result of all these things, that when the three modes of material nature are expanded in a person, his number of births, what he has to take, will increase. His karma will increase. This is all the result of that. You can see now how difficult it is to come to spiritual life, to take to spiritual life seriously. Because three modes of nature does not leave a person, whether you are initiated or not initiated, doesn't matter. Even you may be brahmachari or a sannyasi or a guru or whatever it is, doesn't matter. Three modes of nature won't leave you. They are above all these things. So as long as three modes of nature, you are under the grips of three modes of material nature, you are in trouble, no matter which position you have, what position you have in the ashramam or varnam, whatever varnashrama dharmam, whatever condition you are, three modes of nature still can control you. Therefore, this knowledge of three modes of material nature is important. That the result of three modes of material nature means samsaram or material existence will increase. We are simply increasing our material existence. That's what Krishna is saying. So, the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is for what? Knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is only for one and only one message is how to free oneself from the cycle of birth and death. That is the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. So, in order that to happen, the material existence has to come to an end. A material existence can only come to an end when one is released from the three modes of material nature. At least one should be situated in the platform of goodness. That's what Krishna is saying here. That otherwise, in so many lifetimes, so many different species, so many different wombs one has to visit and experience all that things through that different wombs and different bodies, and before he can come back to this opportunity once again. That is what makes the human life much more valuable. That's what Krishna is saying here. That, so one has to know the nature of the three modes of material nature, and one has to know how to free oneself from that. Then, Rajastamaschabhibhuya sattvam bhavadi bharada. Rajam sattvam tamaschaiva tamasattvam rajastathaha. Then, sometime due to the circumstances or due to the conditions in which the person is living or acting or functioning. Due to that, Rajogunam and Tamogunam can influence a person. Time, place, all these things are, the food, everything has an effect on him. And sometimes Satugunam can overpower all these things. Rajas and Tamogunam will go down and Satugunam will overtake. Then one mode of nature out of these three will always be stronger than the other two. And that is only due to the temporary situation. It is not permanent. I'm sure all of you have experienced this also. Well, how come sometimes you feel satisfied and peaceful in life and sometimes you feel very disturbed in life? And that is purely due to the modes of nature. That is what is causing that. Only thing is, we do not recognize at that time that the modes of nature has changed, because we didn't know even that there was a thing called modes of nature working in us. So that is why it is happening like that. So Krishna says, according to, there are so many ways in the Shastra mentioned this. The mind, which is the main location where the modes of nature has a strong influence. Therefore, the mind is one of the locations where the three modes of material nature influences very strongly. For a disturbed mind, for example, when the mind is disturbed, the predominating deity of the mind is the moon, isn't it? The mind is the predominating deity is the moon. So often, it is spoken like this, that when one is disturbed in the mind, one should look at the moon for some time. It will give him some peace by just observing the moon. There has some relationship with the moon and the mind, because he is the predominating deity of the mind. Like this, there are so many things spoken. Similarly, Rajogunam and Sattugunam also predominates in a person sometime. Rajogunam and Sattugunam also predominates in a person. It's not necessary that all the three modes of nature are equally in a person. Then it is called as Samyavastha. Samya means equally disposed. But sometimes Vishamavastha happens. Vishamavastha means one mode of nature dominates over the other two and influences the person more than the other two. So in that Vishamavastha, or in the when one mode of nature is dominating a person, it is important to know that particular mode of nature, what brings to us happiness or distress, and how one has to keep it at a distance from one's own mind, one's own activities. Then Krishna says now, sarvadvareshu dehesmin prakashamupajayate jnanam yada tada vidya vivardhvam sattvamityudaham. Then, have you noticed this? Rajogunam particularly brings the intensity to do work very seriously. Intensity to do work seriously. It is when Rajogunam is very strong in a person, he is able to do some wonderful things also. There is an incident reported. It happened like this. One child was hit by a car. So the mother immediately felt for the child and managed to move the car physically from there. Because at that time, the Rajogunam grew up so strongly in her that she managed to push the car to such a level and get the child out from the bottom of the car. She managed to do that. How could she do that? Because at that particular point, the karma sheshi, or the ability to work, that comes from Rajogunam. Rajogunam gives us the capacity to work, isn't it? Sometimes you often wonder, in offices you see some people, they'll get to the office at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they leave at 10 o'clock in the night. They are willing to sacrifice their day, not only to the employer, they give everything to the company, because they think that this is perfection of life, and they have surrendered to that. Where did this ability to work like this come to them? It is nothing but Rajogunam. It is that Rajogunam that is giving that strength for them to work like that. And in the same way, suddenly it intensifies in a person. This Rajogunam intensifies in a person. And when that intensifies in a person's mind, he will be able to do things which in the normal course he may not be able to do. That is the difference of the Rajogunam's nature. Sarvadvareshu dehesmin prakasham upajayate jnanam yada tada vidya divirdva sattvamityudaham. Now Krishna is saying something different. How these three modes of material nature can be noticed in a person's body. How they can be seen in a person's body. Because a man's body or a human body has got certain gates in that, isn't it? There are certain gates. Navadvare pure dehi, Krishna says. Naiva kurvan nakare, the nine holes in the body, Krishna says. Earlier, in another verse, Krishna has also spoken about it. That in Sanniyamendriyagramam, 12th chapter, 12th chapter, 4th verse. Sanniyamendriyagramam sarvatra samabuddhaya te prapnumandimam eva sarvabodahide radaha. In the 12th chapter, Krishna spoke about that. I think it was the 4th verse. Sanniyam yendriyagramam sarvatra samabuddhayaham. That samabuddhi or equal mind to develop inside. Sanniyam yendriyagramam, indriyagramam or control of senses is necessary. Krishna says there. Listen, control of senses are necessary. So these nine gates in the body, which are mostly the senses, the five senses of knowledge, and five senses of action. And when Navadvare Puridehi, why when it comes to holes it is mentioned as nine? When it comes to senses it's mentioned as 10. Why is that? Because one sense, this tongue has got although it's one hole, it has two senses, isn't it? One to speak as well as to taste. Therefore, Navadvaram, as far as the holes are concerned, as far as senses are concerned, 10. That is how it is. Navadvare pure dehi, naiva kurvan na karayan. It's not doing anything and it is not the cause of anything. That is why what Krishna has spoken earlier about this. So these nine holes are the place where the three modes of material nature you can notice. How it comes in a person's body. In a person who has come to Sattvagunam, his holes will be in a little different than the way it is in another person, Tamogunam or in Rajogunam. All the senses will act in a different way. A person who is in the mood of goodness, he will be very careful about engaging his senses, isn't he? He is conscious that excessive sense gratification is damaging. He is conscious of that. So in a very restricted way, he will utilize his body and the senses. That is about the mode of goodness. One in the mode of passion will think, at least it is weekend now, I can enjoy as much as I want. The weekend has come. For him, weekend is the pinnacle of happiness. So there, unrestrictedly, he will enjoy at the weekends. And during the week, he will think that, I have to go to work, so I have to be careful to what extent I am drinking or what extent I am engaging in sense gratification. That is the nature of the Rajoguni. Tamoguni thinks, what is the point in working? You see? Tamoguni doesn't even think about work because even to that extent his mind hasn't gone. You can see the differences in everyone. If you, your own, when you have some time, when people are walking through the street, look at them and start thinking, what is the gunam forcing them to act in this particular way? In Sattvagunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam. You will notice, the one who is in Sattvagunam, he does things in a different way than one is in Rajogunam and Tamogunam. When we talked about the animals, we have seen how the cow eats. Cow quietly gets up, eats very slowly, and eats in a peaceful way, not disturbed at all. Rajoguni's eating is different. Rajoguni eats in a different way. So similarly here, Krishna is saying here that the sattvam, rajas and tamogunam, when it attacks a person in three and it starts expanding in a person, the results will be, it will start coming out through the different senses. The man in sattvagunam, he knows that senses are to be under control. Otherwise, if I let the senses go according to its desire, then I will be destroyed. This awareness will be there in a sattvaguni, one who is in sattvagunam. One who is in rajogunam is thinking that, before I leave this body, I have to enjoy the maximum from this body. That's how rajoguni will think. Tamoguni will think in a completely different way. What is the tamoguni will think? Tamoguni will think, what is there to enjoy? This is the tamoguni's attitude. Tamoguni has no life or anything because he is always sleeping, nidra, alasyam, laziness.
and pramadam, misunderstanding of everything. So you can see very clearly these things in people, how the three modes of material nature works. In sense control is the first thing, Krishna says, and that is where sattugunam builds up in a person from controlling the senses. And activities done in the mood of goodness, he is always cultivating spiritual life, desire for knowing, cultivating knowledge, cultivating spiritual life. These are all symptoms of sattugunam. Symptoms of sattugunam. So, in this particular verse, Krishna is saying here, sarvadvareshu dehesmin prakasham upajayade. What will happen is, all the holes will get illuminated, Krishna says. Prakasham upajayade. Doesn't mean that there will be a bulb burning in all the senses. That's not what Krishna is saying. Prakasham upajayade. Prakasham upajayade means that senses will be so well controlled by the person in the mood of goodness that he will have limitations and he will restrict the senses without damaging himself. Sense enjoyment is damaging at the end to a person who wants to go back home, back to Krishna. Spiritual life, for him, sense enjoyment is damaging. But at least not to destroy oneself by sense enjoyment, that much is known to the sattaguni. One who is in the mood of goodness knows that. So he will not excessively engage in sense gratification. And because the result was that, his senses are not weak. He is always strong in his mind, in his intelligence, and not disturbed by anything what goes on in this world. That's the beauty of sattugunam. A person in sattugunam will not be distracted or disturbed by the activities of this world, because happiness and distress will come. That is the nature of this world, that nobody can stop that. Very fact that we have to do transactions in this world, it will always bring some happiness and some distress also. But not to get affected by that and to be stay transcendental to that is possible in sattugunam. That's the beauty of sattugunam. Why? Because the senses are under control. Even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Arjuna, Srinarada Maharshi talks about this in one instance and says that, that who is dearer to Krishna? Who is dearer to Krishna? One question was asked, I think it was by the Prachetas, or it's in the 6th canto, if I'm not wrong, 6th canto or 5th canto, somewhere it comes. And there, Srinarada Maharshi answers that question, that who is dearer to Krishna? There he says that, one who is controlling the senses and mind, he is very dear to Krishna. He is very dear to Krishna. Srinarada Maharshi says there, like that. That from there you can see that, that this sattugunam brings prakasham, enlightenment to the senses. And all our senses, when they are properly controlled, it brings happiness to a person. That is what it means. That prakasha means that happiness from that. And all these senses are nothing but doors to the world, isn't it? To the outside world. To the outside world. So man in sattugunam will properly discriminate things. He does not straightway jump into enjoying the senses. He thinks about it. Because he can discriminate things properly. That is the beauty of sattugunam. He will be able to discriminate things properly. He does not jump straight away into it. For example, the sense enjoyment, what we receive from the material world, ultimately, although it brings distress, but sensual happiness comes from that also, that you can't reject. Sensual happiness is there. Therefore, the Bhakti Yoga process is so beautiful compared to Jnana Margam or Karma Margam that one has got the limited sense enjoyment allowed in that. In the sense that if one has to eat, eat prasadam, but eat good prasadam happily. That is not disallowed. Whereas for a Jnani or a Karmi, Jnani's case better not to speak about that because of his renunciation and he has rejected all kinds of happiness in this world. There is no possibility of having any enjoyment. Karmi has no time for eating even. That's the Karmi's position. Karma Yogi, although for a Karmi, Karmi has only time to earn money, nothing else. So he has no time for anything else. So there is the question of enjoying anything. Prabhupada always used to give the example of the big businessmen. He used to say that how much time which we can see in the airports and railway stations and so many places, or even in the motorways, how they are driving around all to just get, Prabhupada said, just to get these 4 chapatis. He used to say
so often that how much that modes of nature is controlling that person. He was explaining that. So you can see that the sattvagunam is prakasham, prakashagamanamayam. Earlier it said like that, isn't it? Nirbandram. It's not harmful. It's harmless because it's able to restrict these senses. Then the better example is that the soul is living inside this body, isn't it? Soul is living inside this body. Compare that with yourself living in your own home, living at your own home. When you are living at your home, what do you do? When you go to sleep, you lock the house from inside. So the house, you can lock it from inside or you can lock it from outside also, isn't it? You can lock it from outside. So what you do when you go to sleep at night, you lock it from inside. When you lock it from inside, it is a house, a normal house. That is why everybody should do. You should lock it from inside. Not lock it from outside. Say you're inside and somebody lock it from outside. Then you are, what is it? It's not a house anymore, isn't it? What is it? It is a prison then, isn't it? On the same door, when it is locked from inside, it's a house. The same door, when it is locked from outside, it's a prison. When it is locked from outside, it's a prison. That is why it is said, Srimad Bhagavatam is pointing out this fact to us, that Krishna appeared in the prison. But as soon as Krishna appeared, the doors got opened there, didn't they? Devaki Devi was inside. When Krishna appeared, the doors got opened. Vedavyasa Maharshi is telling us in the same way. Once Krishna goes inside, the doors will properly open. In other words, you will not be disturbed by the opening of the doors in Krishna consciousness. Once you have transcended the three modes of material nature, and one proper Krishna consciousness has developed inside, he is never disturbed under any circumstances. Nothing will happen. That is why that in that particular verse, Sukadeva Goswami has kept all these things in indirectly to tell us that presence of Krishna is not anymore a prison house. For Kamsa, it was a prison all the time. He locked it from outside. That was the problem with Kamsa. That is why he is Kamsa. And that is why Devaki Devi is Krishna's mother. Why? Krishna came, the door was open for her. There is no more necessity to close the door for her. But so similarly, a devotee or a person who is trying to advance on the spiritual life, he has to close the doors from inside, not allow Kamsa to lock it from outside. If it gets locked from outside, we are in serious trouble. Then we have to suffer inside the house, not able to get out from there. And that is bondage. That is bondage. So, Bhagavatam is teaching us that Sattva-Rajas-Tamo-Gunam works in this world. Senses interacts with the three modes of material nature. Accordingly, desires builds up. Different kinds of mentality comes from that. That our own benefit, our own protection, Krishna says, Sarvadvareshu dehesmin prakashamupajayade jnanam yada tada vidya dhivirda sattva-vidyidaham. That prakasham means enlightenment and knowledge. These are the benefits of sattva-gunam, enlightenment and knowledge. When rajogunam and tamogunam goes down and sattva-gunam increases, then these two things will increase. What will increase? The knowledge and the enlightenment will increase. And throughout the body, it will manifest. The body also will have a similar nature. It will even, not even in the body, inside the arteries and veins, everything it will affect. Shastras are saying like that. All the holes that are inside will open up. Therefore, from the intelligence will become very sharp, able to discriminate things properly. Also, when one hears something, immediately he will catch it. He will grasp it very quickly. All these things are, and he will have a knowledge of all the general things. Everything will come from that. A general knowledge of everything. He will not be an ignorant person. He will have a general knowledge of everything. Not very ignorant about anything. And by the power of thought, he will be able to discriminate things properly. This is all the symptoms of sattva-gunam. Sattva-gunam builds up in a person like this. And also, he will be enthusiastic to execute his duties. And at the same time, he will never be a miserable person. Depression will not take over. He will be always peaceful and satisfied.
that when you see such person in anyone, you can see that the Sattvagunam is predominating in that person. Sattvagunam is predominating in that person. All this is all the results of Sattvagunam. Then, or the ability to discriminate. This is all coming from the Sattvagunam. So, then, what happens when it happens? What are the qualities in Rajogunam? Lobha, Pravrti, Arambham, Karmanam, Ashamaspriha, Rajasedani Jayande, Vivardhe, Bharadarshabha. Next one. The Rajogunam works in this way. Krishna says, Lobham. Lobha means greed. Greed builds up in a person very strongly when Rajogunam comes in. And that greed in what form? In the form of karmam. He feels strongly that I have to do this work. I have to do this work. I have to do this. I have to do this. Endless desire to execute the work. That is immediately reaction. And no matter how much work he has done, still not satisfied. And he is willing to, even 24 hours after working, he is not satisfied. But he has got enthusiasm and seriousness to work 24 hours. That enthusiasm is there, to work 24 hours. And faith in that work, what he is doing. It is a very unfortunate situation if one gets to that. That means it's time to go to a doctor. Because if one has to work 24 hours in this world, and to just maintain oneself, that means there is the something wrong with that person, isn't it? Something wrong with the person. That's what Krishna is saying here. And not only that, no matter how much he gets, from his work, still not satisfied with anything. Desire still building up further and further. Then when you see all these things happening in a person, you can say that the Rajogunam has intensified in him. Rajogunam has intensified in him. Earlier you have seen when Sattvagunam has intensified, what happens in a person. All these things are very, very practical and realistic in this world. It's not something Krishna is talking about which we cannot verify practically. You can actually verify all these things in just by observing others. That nature in a person, how it controls him, the three modes of material nature. So therefore Krishna is saying here that the effect of Rajogunam is like this. Desire for karma will build up, karma drishna, and dissatisfied totally with amount of work he has done, and still feeling that there's more work to do, and 24 hours willing to sacrifice without even eating and sleeping, he will execute his work. That kind of situation is there. Sometimes in the, it is very interesting to read, in the newspaper also, when they give the profile of some big personality of, say, for example, chairman of BP or Shell or BT or something, and they'll say how many hours he works in a day to encourage us also to work like that. And you have to only feel sorry for that person, whoever that is, that he leaves at 7 o'clock Heathrow and arrives at, say, 2 or 3 hours later in New York, and he worked the whole day in New York, and he returned in the evening back to London, and he got here at 12 o'clock in the midnight. Next day morning he has flown somewhere else and worked the whole day in Sydney or somewhere else, and the whole day he has come back. And that the newspaper man is thinking that, look at him, how much he is working. He is giving you so much that he is doing so much work, and he is really worth so much millions of pounds what he is getting for that. Man who has understood Bhagavad Gita doesn't think how unfortunate he is, that he has to work so hard to get his the meal, or what is he enjoying? Is he able to do anything except that he has spent so much time in the air, like the birds are also spending so much time in the air. So what has he learned? What did he learn? This is why when Rajogunam and Tamogunam predominates in a person, all this discrimination will go away from him. All this discrimination will go away from him. And at the end, after so many years accumulating wealth in this way, he one day either drops off in the office or drops off in the air or drops off somewhere else, and he is gone. And all these billions and millions what he has accumulated, he has left it for the children or grandchildren who enjoys that very happily. Thank you very much. That's it. This is his great intelligence. What is Krishna says, Akhadam niyamanasya vadyasevena tushtida. In 4 or 5 words, the whole thing Krishna has summarized in the Bhagavatam. A man who is ready to be hung What is he going to get happiness in this world? What happiness is there? Krishna is asking. These people whom I was referring to, they are all the followers of this Karmagandam. Mimamsaka philosophy, that is very strong in them. That is why they are able to work like that. They will go all the way out to earn and to work. Why? Because they think that happiness will come to me, I am working. Happiness must come. That is their philosophy. Krishna is saying, happiness need not come. That is, because they, Krishna says, they forget this one point, that there is another person who is actually giving the results of your work. Who is actually giving the results of your work. They ignore that fact. And that is why Krishna rejects the Mimamsaka philosophy very strongly from this viewpoint. When we come to Bhagavatam, we will see that much more in detail. And not only that, their arguments are also very interesting sometimes, why they say. We talks about spirit soul, isn't it? Karmagandhi says like this. What spirit soul, they say? Well, if the spirit soul is okay, but what does it matter? He says, if the spirit soul exists and the super soul exists, everybody should have the equal happiness and distress, but that's not, we don't find in this world. For example, sometimes one man says, he sits there, he's saying, oh, my mother died, oh, my father died, and he's crying. He's sitting there and he's crying there. Another person, he's nicely dressed up, he's driving a Porsche car, ask him, where is he going? Oh, I'm going to get married. He's so happy, he's going somewhere else. So, in the same spirit soul, the two different experiences. One is experiencing total distress, another one is experiencing total happiness in that time. Another instance, one person, he wants to eat very well. He has eaten a lot and he has enjoyed eating. Another person, he has eaten a lot and he's very sick. So the two persons who have eaten food were two in two different situations. Krishna says, where is this coming from? Why does it happen like that? So many friends, Krishna confronts them, the Mimamsakas. And he'll point out at that time that no matter how nicely one executes one's work in this world, results need not come. Results need not come. Krishna says, results will come. That is decision from, is another higher force that makes up that decision. So here, lobha pravritti rarambha karmana ashamaspriha rajaseda anijayande vivruddhe bharadarshavam. Then, not only that, even when in the Rajogunam is very strongly building up, what will happen is that the lobham or greed will also increase. When you see all these things, you can say that Rajogunam has intensified in that person. That when Rajogunam comes down, all these activities also will come down in a person. Ajari Swamiji says, Angangalidam Bhalidam Tundam. That is the way it is. That the... that old man, he is also walking with a stick in the hand. A very old person is walking with a stick in the hand. He's walking with a stick in the hand. That, but old man also, his desires has not gone. Desires are still there. So suddenly, one instance, one television interviewer, you know the television people who goes with a big camera in the hand, looking for some information from somewhere. And he was wandering around. He saw this old man with the stick going on somewhere. So he says to the old man, where are you going? He says to him. He says, I'm just going because I've been sitting around for a long time. I want to find out what's going on in this world, he says. The old man is saying, what's going on in this world? So, the old man asked this photographer, the television interviewer, what are you doing here, he said. You asked me, I've told you what I'm doing. I want to know what's going on in this world. Television interviewer says, I'm also trying to find out what's going on in this world, he says. Both are there with the same goal. The old man, he thinks that sitting at home is boring. So he took his stick, although he can't walk properly, he is struggling very hard to walk. Still he is trying, walking in the streets, trying to talk to somebody, find out what's going on in the neighborhood, what's going on in the, although all the senses are going one after the other, the eyes have gone, the ears have gone, can't read the newspaper anymore, watch the television, or even the hearing power is also going away. But still the desire inside has not gone to know what is going on. So he's going on like this. So he decided, let me make a walk outside and I'll meet some people. You'll see always in the city centers, often this scene. They'll come with a late effort and they want a day out or whatever it is and come and meet some friends and talk about some rubbish, what goes on in this world. And this will go on. So the television interviewer asked him, and his answer was that, I'm trying to know what is going on in this world. He said, very well. So the television interviewer thought, let me put a question to him. He says to him, what about the fashion of the young girls these days? He says, have you noticed whatever anything? He says, I would like to know the same thing I'm also asking, but only thing I can't see anymore properly. This was his answer. So naturally, from these things you can observe what Krishna is saying here. When different modes of nature expands in a person, his activities, his mind, and his thoughts, and his speech, everything will change. In the mode of goodness, a man will not speak like this. First of all, in the mode of goodness, a man will discriminate things before he engages in such activities. Whereas when Rajogunam expands, this is what happens. When Rajogunam expands, the photographer, the television interviewer is asking, television man is asking the old person, that what have you observed, the difference in the style, the way young girls dress these days? This is the question he has put forward. But the old man says, I can't even see, but I've been thinking about it, he says. What changes have happened? Can you tell me what's happening, he says, to the young man. So, like this conversation, from this conversation you can observe that the three modes of material nature does not leave whether you are young, whether you are old, whether you are middle-aged. Whether you are man, whether you are woman, doesn't matter. It is there in everyone. And that is why much more attention and guarding is necessary when it comes to the three modes of material nature. Let's look at the tamoguni now. Aprakasho pravrtischa pramado mohamevaja tamasedani jayande vivardhe kurunandanaha. Rajoguni works hard, isn't it? That's what we have seen before. Rajoguni's nature is to work very hard. And working hard means that he will forget to live in this world. He will forget to live in this world. Once it so happened, a person, he worked very hard throughout his life. Throughout his life, he worked very hard. And then, he earned quite a lot of wealth also. Lot of wealth. After the whole day's work, in the night he used to sit and look at his assets, how much he has got on that, up to that day. Every day he used to enjoy that. Today I have so much, tomorrow by this deal I'll make so much, and after that there'll be another deal following that. If I win that also I'll be so much. Like this. And there is newspapers to list all the people who have got on the top of the list. Every few months they'll put it on the list. He's a millionaire. And these fools all together, they make this world. Who? These newspapers and these ones who are working like asses all day to get into that list. So that is this material world means. So here, one person, what happened was he worked so hard and earned so much wealth. Earned so much wealth. Did he know what to do with the wealth? All he knew is that I have to earn. And it should be invested in places where it's safe so that he can always feel a great degree of security from that. He's feeling great security from all these things. So eventually, one day it so happened that he had to die. He had to leave his body. So, Yamaraja arrived there on the scene. And he, you know how Yamaraja comes? You've seen in the Bhagavatam, the picture is given there. He comes with few things in his hand. He doesn't come empty-handed. He travels on the buffalo, isn't it? That's his vehicle. And then he has got a good piece of pisal or an iron rod in his hand and a big rope, which he puts it on the soul and pulls the soul out. Ready, come on now. You are following me now to the place where I'm taking you, isn't it? So that is the Yamaraja's arrival. So he started calling this man, now come out. You great soul who have worked very hard all your life, come out now, he says. So this person says to him, give me at least one day, he says, because I worked so hard all my life to earn this. But at least one day, let me enjoy this, he said, this wealth. After all, I have worked so hard, paid all my taxes, paid everything,
And all excuses he was making to Yamadharmaraja. Yamadharmaraja said, no, no, that is not our system, he said. Once I call somebody, he comes immediately. He doesn't stay anymore. So the man says that, well, if you can't give me one day, at least give me a few hours, he says. Yamaraja says, no, no, that is not possible. Your time is up, man. You come. You don't talk much anymore, he said. So eventually he says to him, at least give me a few minutes or let me write a letter, he said. He wrote a letter apparently. What did he write in that letter? He wrote in the letter that, wrote, I have worked from the age of, say, 18 or 20, till government told me to retire, which was 65. I worked. Now it is 65, I don't know. That time probably it was 60, I don't know. So 18 to 60, I have worked. 42 years or 40 years I worked. And I have worked and I worked very intelligently, worked very hard. I did not care for anyone in this world. I was not concerned anything at all. All I was concerned about was whether I was accumulating enough wealth or not. In that seriousness I have worked. But today I am told that it is not worthwhile. So I have to leave everything. Please take this into account while you are working in this world. Yours sincerely, F.T.L. Peter, he signed. What is F.T.L. means? Forgotten to live, Peter. So Peter writes this letter saying that, I've forgotten to live. I've lived only to earn money, in other words. I didn't live properly. What is life means? Life means, Krishna is saying here, Lebdhva sudurlabhamidam bahusambhavande manushyam arthadam anityam abhihadhiraha turnam padedyadid anamurtiyaval nishreyasaya vishayakhalu sarvatasyal. Srimad Bhagavatam is saying, Lebdhva sudurlabhamidam bahusambhavande. After going through so many different bodies, one has come to, finally, to this beautiful asset known as the human body. And in that human body, bahu sambhavane, many, many times, many bodies you have changed. Manushyam arthadam anityam abhihadhiraha. That this human body, what is the beauty of this human body? Beauty of this human body is arthadam anityam abhihadhiraha. That the capacity of this human body is, although it is temporary, for a dhira, one who is intelligent, he can use this body to get out of the cycle of birth and death. That is the beauty of this body. So if this body is properly utilized, Krishna says, this is the best vehicle you have got to cross over the ocean of birth and death, or the cycle of birth and death. So therefore, Krishna is saying there, turnam padedyate, this body will drop off one day. It will drop off one day. We don't want to take that into notice. That thinking that in this body I have to enjoy everything. We are making all arrangements here. Krishna says this enjoyment is available in all the other bodies as well. You don't have to get a human body for this. In the Shovidvara Hostragare Samstuda Purusha Pashu Nayalkarna Kathobedam Jadunama Gadagraja. Bhagavadam says like this in the beginning. That shava, vidvaram, hostram, gharam, camels, dogs, asses and hogs, all four of them categorized as a human being. Human beings are put into that category as long as they are not taking to the process of Krishna consciousness. That is how Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami, in the very beginning of Bhagavatam mentions this, for this reason only. That nishrayasaya vishaya khalu sarvadasyal, that vishayam, enjoyment, sense enjoyment is available in all other bodies as well. You don't need a human body for that. That is the beauty of the importance of human body. We are not able to discriminate that. That is what Krishna is saying there. That in the Bhagavatam it is spoken like this, but in the Sukadeva Goswami's words, he puts it a little bit more strongly on that. So, why we were saying this was, why we have spoken all these things was that the material enjoyment, what one receives, where is that happiness? Is that happiness in the mind or is happiness in the object? Is it is in the person or is it is in the object? We all know when one can discriminate these things, he can see
that the actual happiness is not in the object. It is in the person. Isn't it? It is in the person. It is in one's own mind. Krishna, in his creation of different living, 8.4 million different species, according to Krishna's creation, every living entity has different capacity as far as sense enjoyment is concerned. Take for example, the amoeba or the lowest, the worm or the insect which is called. That has got certain senses, isn't it? We have got some different senses. In other words, we have five good senses which are very effective. The worm may not have all the senses. It does not have. They don't have a mind, because in the creation it is like that. When certain, in the progress of the living entities, some of them have got lower existence, some of them have got higher existence. We say, when we deal with this world, what we experience with our senses is real, isn't it? Whatever we experience in this world, we think as real. Now, the worm or an insect or another living entity has got its own relationship with this world through its senses. What the other living entities experience and we experience is different, is it not? We experience this world in one way, according to our senses. The worms and the amoeba or any other insects or lower animals or the birds even, they all experience this world in a different way. So what is real in this? Which is real? So according to the capacity of what Krishna has given us in our senses, you experience this world. So that is why it is said that the enjoyment that is coming through the senses is not enjoyment. It is only a perception that the illusion is showing to us. Maya is teaching us this is enjoyment. Really, in any of these things, because none of them is the truth. The truth is that we are spirit soul. Our identity with the soul is more important, and the happiness is in the soul. When we reject that and accept sense gratification and happiness through the senses as the goal, this is the result of that. You have to remember that happiness, what we derive through our senses, is equally available for another living entity, although in a lower body from the same material world it's experiencing. Because its senses are also, it is experiencing the same world, although in a different way. So what is real? What's real in this world? So, from the viewpoint, if you look from the Shastram, you can see that the stress that is given for economic development and sense gratification has no meaning. And the result of all that is, we lose our main purpose of life, the goal of life. This is why Shastram is opening up all these topics to us to think about it and to understand and analyze it, how important it is. Krishna consciousness is to be taken seriously in this very lifetime, in this very body. So, Krishna says, Apragasho pravartischa, pramado moham evacha, tamasyeda anijayende vivardhe kurunandanam. Apragasho apravartischa. Always not have any knowledge of anything. This is the nature of the tamogunam. In other words, proper knowledge of anything. Always in an ignorant state of anything. And also not doing anything about it. Not doing anything about it. And at the same time, pravado mohamevaja, have a lot of desires. Want to have this, want to have that, so many things. But at the same time, no enthusiasm to do anything. No desire to work. Always lazy and dull. And even if he has some knowledge of something, it's full of misunderstanding. Whatever little knowledge that has come from that, that's also misunderstanding. These are all the dharmam or the activities of the person when the tamogunam or mode of ignorance expands in him. When the mode of ignorance expands in him. Then when tamogunam goes away, all these things also will go away. In this, very interesting here, some things to notice. You see, here it is mentioned that the nidra means sleep, isn't it? when sleep increases, we say tamogunam, it's a symptom of tamogunam. Does that mean we shouldn't sleep? Does that mean we shouldn't sleep? Krishna says here, tamasyedani jayande vivrdhe kurunandana. It's not like that. Sleep is necessary. 6 to 7 hours of sleep is necessary for everyone. But if you sleep more than what is necessary, that is what builds up tamogunam. Sleep is necessary for the senses to rest. Senses to rest. The body has to rest. But the modern theory sometimes, all sorts of strange theories they come out with. The scientists as well as the modern medicine also sometimes. There is no consideration for the spiritual side of life in their assessment or their requirement as far as body is concerned. That's the first thing. They don't consider body has another utility called spiritual life. No, that is not in the equation at all. So when they refer to that, they will say like this, that if you can sleep 10 or 11 hours, it will recuperate. Very well rested. It's very good. So it forces the person to sleep for 10 or 12 hours sometimes, and in the weekends, whole day and whole night. If a person sleeps like that, Krishna is saying that is the one that builds up tamogunam. Not sleeping 6 or 7 hours in a day. That's allowed. That's necessary also. But only in sattvagunam one can understand that. But if you read newspapers and television and all the modern scientific conclusions, they will say that the more you rest for the body, it will give you much more strength to enjoy more after that. Then you eat well, and then you can sleep more, and then you can eat more again. Then you can sleep more again. Then you can enjoy more after that. If we start going in that route, what will happen is that lowest tamogunam will be totally prevalent in that person throughout life. And what will happen to that person will be, at the end, when he looks at Bhagavad Gita, he will think, what I have got to do with this book? This will be the thought that will come to him. Will he understand ever the three modes of material nature? Never. He will never be able to understand the three modes of material nature. Why? Because he has followed the injunction of the modern so-called science or whatever, whoever is giving these injunctions. This knowledge will not come from science. This knowledge will only come from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Nowhere else you can find it. Because Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita keeps focused on our spiritual welfare. In other words, they have clearly told us, as a spirit soul, we have to come out of this cycle of birth and death and go back home back to Krishna. That is the goal of life. They have clearly defined the goal. In order to go back to the spiritual world, one has to practice a certain style of life. And that lifestyle should be such, everything should be restricted. Sense enjoyment should be restricted. The mind should not be allowed to engage in unnecessary activities. And a procedure for developing spiritual path. All this is in the Shastram. They ignore all these things and they give all these kind of recommendations. Now, there is another aspect also. Some of the activities in tamogunam, if you take for example, tamogunam manifests in a person I mentioned to you with their habits also. Say for example, one who drinks heavily, isn't it? He drinks and he is always under the... Is there any point in talking to him about Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam? No, nothing will work, isn't it? So, he is in a state of mind where proper instructions have no effect on him. Similarly, on a young child, say about 5-6 years old, to him speaking about all these things also has no effect. Why? Because he has not matured enough to discriminate things and the intelligence hasn't developed enough. So therefore, you will notice when a drunk person or when a child fall down, I have seen one man, he gets drunk every day. And by the time he gets home from the pub, at least 3 or 4 times he would have fallen in few different places. Every time he falls, he gets up and he walks further and again he falls. Like this, as you know how it is. But he never gets hurt. hurt. Why? Because that ahankaram is not there, false ego inside. Same thing with the child also. The children, they fall so many times. But they get up and they play, continue playing again. Only if you look at them, they get upset that they have fallen, then they will cry. But if you don't look at them, you leave them to themselves, then they won't cry. They will fall so many times. Sometimes some other boys punches them and they fall down and they get hurt. They don't get hurt. They get knocks here and there. But they'll get up and they'll start doing their own work. Whatever they're playing, they'll continue playing. They'll forget it also. Why? They're able to forget it immediately. These are all the effects of tamogunam. Whereas a nice old man or woman who is following Ekadashi, Dwadashi, Shashti, Saptami, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, chant the holy name, she just has to go to bathroom, takes a bucket of water, falls, breaks the bone straight away. So why is that difference happening? Why is that difference happening? This person, this man or woman who has been very living a spiritual life, he followed Ekadashi strictly, he followed everything fasting he has to do for every fasting day she has fasted, and or every day, single day, she has read Srimad Bhagavatam, always in Sattvagunam, and ate very controlled, always controlled senses, lived with proper way of life, she lived like that. Only one fall is enough, she gets hurt, straight away you can call the ambulance to take her to hospital. This other person, the other, the person who is drinking, he is falling so many times in his journey every single day back home from the pub. Nothing is happening to him, nor to the child who is falling every day. Why is it like that? What is the reason behind it? This is where ahankaram comes in, false ego. So, in all the shastram, you will find a liberated soul in his condition is very much similar to the drunkard. The drunkard has no bodily concept of life. He falls, he gets up. He falls, he gets up. He is not attached to his body anymore because of the intoxication that has gone inside. The liberated soul is also like that. You will see this in the Bhagavatam, Madhira Madhandha, it says like that. That the alcohol is an intoxicated person. Sometimes his clothes fall off, he walks away, and then he will goes home, and then he starts thinking, where did I leave the clothes? Where has it gone? He thinks. Probably next day he may come back looking for it, by then it's gone. So like that. So many things he loses in different places. But he is not attached. He still goes on with his journey. Similarly, a liberated soul also has got this freedom to do that, can escape from this bodily identification. They are also acting in the similar platform. But the difference is that the one who has got intoxicated is not anyway escaping from the cycle of birth and death. He is actually getting more implicated in that. Whereas the liberated soul, he is escaping from this cycle of birth and death. That is where that difference is coming. The difference is coming. So, tamogunam envelops person in one way. A liberated soul, like we say, the Jivan Mukta, or one who is liberated within this material body, who is waiting for prarabdham to finish, so that the body drops off. The soul is already come to a state of consciousness where it does not identify with the body anymore. But for those outside, it appears as though he is also suffering like us. In strictly speaking, liberated soul is not experiencing that misery of the material world or material body anymore, like the way we do, because of his liberated state of consciousness. But we, from outside, we think, oh, what is the use? He has practiced spiritual life throughout his life. He is also suffering like me. So what's the point? Why should I do this? This is how most of the people will think about that. But strictly speaking, it is not so. The symptom of a spiritually advanced or a liberated person is explained in the Bhagavatam like this. Madhira Madhanda is like a drunk who has no bodily identity anymore, although he is living within that body. And when prarabdham is finished, the body drops off automatically and it goes back to the soul goes back to spiritual world. So, but prarabdham, normal circumstances,
As long as one has accepted the material body, till the prarabdham is over, he has to go through that process. That he cannot, normal cases, he has to wait till that is finished. And this is the last material body he has to accept. So that is a jivanmukta state. So here, while discussing about tamogunam, why I was mentioning this was, that this tamogunam, when it manifests in a person, like in a person who is intoxicated or in a child, it brings about certain features from him. Certain things manifest in that person. When you look at it, it will appear as though they are very similar to a liberated soul as well. That not affected as far as the body is concerned. But, strictly speaking, they are on a two different levels. Both of them are free from the bodily identification. One through alcohol and one through spiritual knowledge and devotion. That's the only difference. The one through spiritual knowledge and devotion, he sheds his body once for all and does not have to accept another material body again. The one who is intoxicated, he has to accept repeated birth and death again in so many material bodies due to he tamogunam that is permeated in his body. So tama aprakasho pravartischa pramado moham evaja tamasedani jayande vivrdhe kurunandanaham. yada satve pravrdhedu Yadi pralayam yadi dehabral tado uttamavidam lokan amalan pradibadyate. Now, Krishna is saying here, verse number 14, I think. Yada satve pravrdhedu pralayam yadi dehabral tado uttamavidam lokan amalan pradibadyate. That. Yada satve pravrdhedu pralayam yadi dehabral. When sattvagunam increases in a person, when sattvagunam increases in a person, he realizes then, tado uttamavidam logan amalan pradibadyade. All the three modes of material nature are cause of bondage. All the three modes of material nature are causes of bondage. So one has to go beyond the three modes of material nature. But as long as one is a conditioned soul, one is in the conditioned state, then it is a very difficult thing to achieve that state of consciousness. When one goes down, the other will increase. That is the beauty of these three modes. When you reduce the rajogunam, sattvagunam will increase. When you reduce the sattvagunam, tamogunam will increase. In either one of these three, it will always predominate over the other. So, in order to cross over all the three things, is such a difficult process. It is a very difficult process. But there is no hope otherwise. There is no choice. One has to get over all the three modes of nature. That's what Krishna is saying here. That is only hope for the conditioned soul. That if you give a choice, if given a choice out of the three, sattvagunam is better than the other two. Because if sattvagunam increases, at least there will be a desire for cultivating spiritual knowledge. And also a desire to perform spiritual activities. That's the beauty of the spiritual sattvagunam. Then, if one leaves the body, when sattvagunam is predominating in him, the result will be that he will go to the heavenly planets. It's a possibility going to the heavenly planets. Then, if not, if it is in rajogunam, he'll have to come back and accept another body in this planet. And if it is in tamogunam, he may have to go in the lower species of life. In this very planet, but into the lower species of life. The chances of going down further is normally not so much. Unless one has committed such atrocious activities that one has to be punished in that way. But this itself is a good punishment. If you have to accept a body of a tree or a body of an animal or a beast or anything like that, it's not enough punishment. That time is gone again, isn't it? There is no possibility of cultivating spiritual life in that body unless you come back to human body again. And even after coming to human body, how much opportunity you get to cultivate spiritual life in the human body? Out of the 6 or 8 billion people in this world, how many people are serious about spiritual life?
Okay, there's a lot of people following religious life, so-called religion, for their own material sense gratification and material life, happiness in the material world. But that is not spiritual life. Spiritual life is more than that. So, that desire for spiritual life and to take the knowledge from Shastra, those things will only come in the Sattvagunam. So, the punishment is enough if one has to accept a lower body, either the body of a cat or a dog or any animal for that matter. And even if it has to accept, if it is still very sinful, he may have to accept. If you die in the mode of ignorance, the possibility of getting a body in the form, in the birds or in the trees and plants is very high. In the bird, trees and plants is very high. Srila Prabhupada used to talk about this sometimes, that how the tamogunam can bring such bodies. He has spoken in many lectures on Bhagavad Gita, that the tamogunam, when it intensifies, attraction for the body increases. Attraction for the body increases. And the bodily concept of life increases also. With the results that everything in relationship with the body becomes the source of happiness. And that is the greatest tamogunam. And in that condition, when one leaves the body, he has to accept the lower bodies. Particularly the stand there. Prabhupada used to say, he used to stand like a tree for thousands of years sometimes. He said. So, from there you can see how Sattvagunam is very important in from all these angles. So that's why. Actually, Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, how it develops a person. Urdvam Gachandi Sattvasa. Krishna has spoken, I think, before. Madhye Tishtandi Rajasaha. Jaganya Gunavrittista Adho Gachandi Tamasaha. What does actually it means? That Urdvam Gachandi Sattvasa. That is Urdvam. Urdvam means going up. The soul in Sattvagunam is constantly moving up. Moving up. Moving up means moving up in its ladder of the bodily level. In the sense that the Sattvagunam elevates him. Urdhvam, Gachandi. It goes up. It goes into higher planets. Higher planets, birth in the higher planets means knowledge with birth. What is the difference between demigods and us? Demigods by birth, they have knowledge. They don't have to acquire the knowledge like we do. So, getting birth in a higher planet automatically gives an opportunity to have knowledge with it. Automatically to have knowledge with it. Whereas in our human body, in the body in this world, we have to acquire the knowledge. So, urdvam gacchandi sattvastha, then madhye tishtandi rajasaha. When one leaves the body in rajogunam, he has to accept some form here, in this world, earthly planet again. He may get a human body, but that human body, what kind of human body will that be? There is no guarantee there also. Jaganya guravruttisto atho gachandi tamasaha. When tamogunam has increased considerably in a person, he has no hope of even getting a human body in the next life. It could be a lower body. That is what Krishna is saying there. So, in this verse also, Krishna has spoken the same thing. Raidha sattve pravruddhendu pralayam yadi deha bhavi tad ottama vidam logan amalan pradivadhyade. That in fact, when you think about it, like most of the people, they can sit and listen to something from Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam, only if there is some goodness predominating them, at least for that time. If it is Rajogunam, you will completely get disturbed. You will not be able to sit and listen to Bhagavad Gita. Nor, when you get into the feeling of Tamogunam, you won't even feel the desire to go and listen to a program on Krishna consciousness. Even that desire won't develop inside. All the three are equally responsible. So, Krishna is saying through that if ever any of the modes of nature has to increase, at least let it be Sattvagunam. That is the main thing. Rajase pralayam gatva karma sangishu jayate tadha pralinas tamasi mudhayo nishu jayate. In other words, rajasi pralayam gatva karma sangishu jayate. If the rajogunam, suppose tamogunam and sattvagunam has decreased and rajogunam has increased in a person, then what will be the result? Continuous increase of karma. Karma will increase in that person. No matter how much he has worked, karma vasana will increase. Karma vasana means the propensity to do karma will increase. If you remember, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is, in the Sukadeva Goswami has discussed this point very seriously. How did he say?
దాట్ అత్ర సర్గో విసర్గశ్చ స్థానం పోషణముదయ మన్యొందరం ఈశానుకథ నిరోధో ముక్తిరాశ్రయాః. ది 10 క్యాంటోస్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం బిగినింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ సర్గం. సర్గం ఈస్ ద థర్డ్ క్యాంటో. సర్గం మీన్స్ ప్రైమరీ క్రియేషన్. ఫోర్త్ క్యాంటో విసర్గం ఈస్ ద సెకండరీ క్రియేషన్. సెకండరీ క్రియేషన్, ప్రైమరీ క్రియేషన్, వాట్ ఈస్ ద డిఫరెన్స్? ప్రైమరీ క్రియేషన్ ఈస్ ద క్రియేషన్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ బ్రహ్మ. లార్డ్ బ్రహ్మ ఇస్ క్రియేటెడ్ ఆల్ ద లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ అండ్ డిఫరెంట్ బాడీస్ అండ్ ద మెటీరియల్ నేచర్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్. And material nature means the manifested world in the form of living entities. This has come from Brahma. Now, after we have come here, we start another creation, isn't it? Our own creation. By using the material elements, we exchange material elements, mix them together, and we create so many things. So, the primary creation is the discussion in the third canto. Secondary creation is what is discussed in the fourth canto. In the fourth canto. So, sargam and visargam. But the secondary creation, what we do in this world, causes havoc. Causes havoc. The primary creation, what Brahma has created, is according to Krishna's law. So therefore, there is no mismanagement there. That is why this sargam and visargam, the word itself is very effective. Because in sargam, whatever that comes out is bona fide. What comes out of visargam is not bona fide, because our activities are all mostly demoniac. And from these demonic activities, the results also have to be demoniac, isn't it? So Krishna says, at the end of this fourth canto, you will notice an interesting feature. Those who are engaged in visargam, in the secondary creation, and those whose activities are hellish, there need a place for them separately to be kept, what is called a prison. Isn't it? A prison is necessary for the criminals. That is the law of this earthly planet, and in Krishna's law also it is like that. And that is why immediately after the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto, sthanam, or the location, is discussed for such people. That is why all the hellish planets are spoken in the fifth canto. Can you see that relationship between each canto? If you go through Bhagavatam like Bhagavad Gita, there is a continuous flow of continuous relationship between each canto. That should be noticed. Otherwise, you will get lost. Because from third canto, because first and second canto talks about two important things. First canto talks about who is qualified to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, in spoken very extensively in the first canto. In the second canto, Krishna, in the second canto, Vedavyasa Maharshi says, who is qualified to speak Srimad Bhagavatam? Through the example of Sukadeva Goswami. That's why Sukadeva Goswami is presented in the second canto. Now, from third canto onwards, really Srimad Bhagavatam begins. So, straight away, immediately the process of creation was discussed. And third canto, you will see, everything comes out very auspiciously. Why? Because everything that has been done according to Krishna's instructions. Therefore, nothing has gone wrong in the third canto. All the personalities you will notice there. Kardava Prajapati, Devahuri Devi, Kapila Vasudev, all of them have something good to tell us to this world. Isn't it? They have got something good to tell us to this world. You see? So, in the third canto, everything that has been spoken is for making us to understand that sargam is proper. Sargam is not to be, is to be accepted. Why Brahma is created? And it is from there, all this knowledge of the Ishopanishads and all, where it says there, that, what does Ishopanishad says? That we should accept only what is necessary for our, what is allotted to us. Why does it say like that? Because of this, sargam. They have understood the principle. The principle is known to the great sages. Therefore they have stressed on that point. Ishavasimidam sarvam. Everything belongs to Krishna. Tena tetena bunjida, magrida kasasiddhanam. So, one should only accept what one is allotted to this. Where does this principle come from? It comes from this principle of sargam. Brahma's creation is such that every living entity has been allotted certain thing. Immediately after that, in the fourth canto, you will notice visargam is discussed. Visargam means, if you take up the law into your own hands, what will happen? In order to teach us, the whole fourth canto has been spoken. And there, you will see, Vedavyasa Maharshi has presented four different personalities for our understanding. For children, for women, for young men, and for old people, for different examples. For children, he has given the example of Dhruva Maharaj. Look at Dhruva Maharaj, what happened to him. All, if you study the whole episode of Dhruva Maharaj's story, you will understand that what can happen if we do not follow Krishna's injunctions. That is what story is telling us. Simply reading Dhruva Maharaj's story, he went to the forest and Krishna appeared in front of him and Dhruva glorified him. That is good enough. But what is the lesson from that? Lesson is this, that through the story of Dhruva's brother, Uttama, how he had to give up his body at the end because of the mistakes, what has happened in his dealings with Dhruva, and how his own mother, Surichi, committed the grave blunder of offending Dhruva, the devotee, and her activities, how it all ended up in unhappiness for Uttama. Isn't it? And that is that story. Through the child, the story of the child, Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us, Visargam is not the proper way to go. That's not the proper way to go. All the personalities in third canto is telling us, follow me. All the personalities in the fourth canto is telling us, don't follow me. This is how it is. Take for example the next lesson, Daksha Prajapati's life and the sacrifice performed there. Sati Devi eventually, although instructed by Lord Shiva not to go for the sacrifice which was happening, Brahaspati Savam, I think it was called, and that time Daksha Prajapati offended Lord Shiva so much, and eventually Sati Devi had to give up her body. Sati Devi had to give up her body. She has to come back as the daughter of Sri Parvati, as the daughter of Sri Parvati of Himalayas later on. So why did that has to happen? Again, the Visargam factor is mentioned there. So all the things, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will find that there is a continuous relationship of every personality which is mentioned there. Again, Prajinabarhi's story mentioned for the old people to take note of. Prajinabarhi has performed so many sacrifices throughout his life. Did he not? So many sacrifices performed throughout his life. And what happened? At the end, Narada Maharshi woke him up and made him realize what is in waiting for him. Because of the continuous engagement in Karmagandam, Prajinabarhi was going to experience hell afterwards. But Sridharada Maharshi's instructions, Krishna sent Sridharada Maharshi to instruct him properly and to bring him back to spiritual life. He was saved from that. Otherwise, he would have experienced also a very hellish conditions. So, an instruction for the old person. And finally, for the youth, through the story of Puranjana. Puranjana Upakhyanam, the Upakhyanam, 5 or 6 chapters in the Bhagavadam, is talking about only one thing. What is he talking about? That don't follow Puranjana's life. Isn't it? Puranjana Upakhyanam is there. Puranjana's story, King Puranjana, how he kept changing his bodies. That is it's in an allegorical way spoken, that story in the Bhagavadam. Why? To instruct us that in the youth, do not commit the same mistake what Puranjana has done. So, through Puranjana, through Sati Devi, through Dhruva Maharaj, through Prajinabarhi, this Visargam aspect is discussed in the fourth canto of Bhagavadam. And those who have gone through that route, who have rejected Krishna's instructions and taken to Visargam process, they need a place to stay because they have to go through that, and that is why it's called Sthanam. Sthanam means the location for them. And immediately after that, somehow or the other, Bhagavadam is bringing out certain important things here. Even if one falls into Sthanam is what is discussed in the fifth canto. Third canto is Sargam, fourth canto is Visargam. Fifth canto is Sthanam. Now, in the sixth canto, Sukadeva Goswami says there, that if one has somehow or the other fallen into that, does it mean that he has no hope anymore? No, it's not like that. It can happen, anybody can fall into that situation. If the Visargam activity is like that. Even in such a situation, he says there, even in such a situation, if one takes to the process of chanting the holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, he has got hope to come out of it. That is the beauty of sixth canto. That is why it is called Poshanam. Poshanam means the shelter. Krishna's shelter is unlimited. In spite of the fact that whatever that has happened in the previous lifetimes or even in this life,
Somehow or the other, if he has taken to the chanting process of the holy name of the Supreme Personality Krishna, he can still escape from the reactions of such sinful activities. That is the beauty of Krishna's, that power of compassion, the power of mercy, that is what is spoken in the sixth canto. That is why it is called as Poshanam. After talking about Poshanam, Vedavyasa Maharshi decided to tell us not to go down to that extent in that route. Therefore, in order to make us much more aware of that story, the whole canto of seventh canto has been spoken, which is known as Karma Vasana. Karma Vasana means Uti. Uti is the another name for that. Uti means Karma Vasana. Karma Vasana means, karmam means vasana, isn't it? As soon as you execute a karmam, the result is vasana. Karmam itself is not so dangerous. It's a vasana that is more dangerous. Sweet rice is not so bad. It's nice. Sweet rice is nice. It's, you can taste it, enjoy it. But the fact that that sweet rice was enjoyable, that stays inside and want to get it more and more afterwards, that is dangerous. That's the danger. So every karmam is like that. Karmam itself is not the binding thing. The vasana is the thing that is binding us. Isn't it? Karmam does not bind. We say karma bind, karma binds means karma vasana binds us. Not karmam bind. Karmam is done and gone. Karmam is jadam, is dead thing. But vasana binds us. So in order to purify the vasanas, that is why karmam has to become karma yogam. Then vasanas don't get generated inside. That's the beauty of karma yoga. And when it is offered to Krishna, that becomes bhakti. That becomes bhakti. So in this way, everything is categorized in the Bhagavatam. So this karma vasana, what is discussed in the seventh canto, is from this viewpoint. So the story of Prahlada is teaching us this one thing. Even while within the womb of the mother Kayathu, Hiranyakashipu's son is Prahlada, isn't it? While being within the womb of the mother Kayadhu, that good vasanas that has come to him from Srinarada Maharshi has come out as soon as Prahlada was born. That is why Prahlada had that all the good qualities in him. All the good qualities in him. So much he was tortured by Hiranyakashipu. So much he was wrongly instructed by Shanda and Namarka. Isn't it? In the Bhagavatam you know, Hiranyakashipu engaged two teachers to teach the material knowledge to Prahlada. I think Hiranyakashipu wanted him to come out with all A-stars in all the subjects, what they were saying. But our Prahlada had no A-star in anything. There was only one A-star he had, and that was in devotion. You see? So you can see from there that the karma vasana that has come, where did this vasana in Prahlada come? Where did it come from? It came from two directions. One from Srinarada Maharshi's instructions. And secondly from their previous lifetime. Who was Prahlada? We're discussing today. Prahlada is nobody else than the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras had to come to this world along with Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. When this incident happened in the heavenly planets, if you remember what happened in the Vaikuntha. This incident has happened in Vaikuntham, isn't it? If you remember, the incident happened in Vaikuntham. When Kumaras went to visit Mahavishnu there. The gatekeeper stopped them from going in. The Kumaras cursed them. Vishnu comes down. All three of them had a meeting together. All of them started apologizing to each other for what they have done. How could such a thing happen? That once you have gone to a place like the Vaikuntham, there is no more coming back from there. Nasa punaravartade, that is what it says there in the Bhagavatam. So here you will see that Jaya and Vijaya had to come back. And Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Krishna says, if they have to go, I also have to go. They cannot go on their own because they are my servants here. So I will also come. So Krishna comes as Narasimha Murthy and then as Ramachandra. He comes, isn't it? So then question comes, what about Kumaras? They also have to come. So all the four Kumaras accepted one body as Prahlada and had come here. So that is how the seventh canto is telling us. A simple karmam they have performed in Vaikuntham, That vasana has followed, including Krishna, right up to here. They have to come here. Through that, it is only not that Krishna or Ramachandra is anyone bound by karma. They are not bound by karma. But in order to tell us that karma is not the important factor, it is the karma vasana that is the more dangerous thing. And it is that karma vasana that is building up inside, and Rajogunam's danger is there. The Rajogunam danger is there. If you keep on increasing this, already there is enough there. You add on to it by our own activities, what will be the result? That's what Krishna is saying here. Rajase pralayam gatva karma sangishu jayate tatha pralinas tamasi mudhayo nishu jayate. So if Rajogunam increases, the propensity for karma will increase, karma vasana will increase. When karma vasana increases, means more and more bodies, one after the other. Means cycle of birth and death. Repeated cycle of birth and death. And what about tamogunam? Tamogunam means mudha yonishu jayade. Mudha yonishu means that yoni, that womb, where the no possibility of knowing anything properly. That's why pramadam it was spoken before, isn't it? So there's no, that's just wasted time in that body. So, and also, at the time of death also, if these qualities are predominating in a person, sattugunam means you will get an opportunity to take birth in a family of devotees, or where spiritual culture is developed. Or if you are, in this rajogunam, if you die, if you leave the body, you get the possibility of getting body in a person where important stress is given on earning money and working hard. That will be the principle of that family. And if it is in tamogunam, the body what one will receive is, there is no possibility of either rajogunam or sattugunam, rather total ignorance, completely wasting the lifetime in three different existences. Then, so, rajase pralayam gatva karma sangishu jayade tadha pralinas tamasi mudhayo nishu jayade. Then, karmam is such a thing, it influences very strongly, and it will bring out some karmam. When that rajogunam is strongly in a person, it will immediately come out in some form. He has to engage. Either if he has nothing to do, he'll go and start construction roads or buildings or this or that. Some activity he will take up straight away. Where is it coming from? It's coming from rajogunam. And mudayonishu jayate. And rajase pralayam gatva karma sangishu jayate tadha pralinas tamasi mudayonishu jayate. Then Krishna says in the next verse, karmana sukradasyahu satvigam narmalam phalam rajasastu phalam dukham ajnanam tamasaphalam. Then karmana sukradasyahu satvigam narmalam phalam. The result of performing spiritual activities and salkarmam. Salkarmam means pious activities. The result of all that is sattugunam will increase in a person. And the result of that will be happiness and peacefulness inside. That so satkarma phalam, the result of pious activities or satkarmam happened to be sattvigam. And Krishna is analyzing sattvigam, rajasam and tamasam from all different angles so that we get a deeper understanding of it. At the same time, if rajogunam increases in a person, what will happen? He'll become very distressed. Sattugunam will bring happiness. Rajogunam will bring distress at the end. That will be the result. And with the increase of the tamogunam, what will happen is misunderstanding and false, no knowledge and laziness. This will be the result of tamogunam. Krishna says, karmana sukradasyahu sattvigam nirmalam phalam rajasastu phalam dukham ajnanam tamasaphalam. Krishna says. And then, in the next verse, sattval sanjayade jnanam rajaso lobham evacha pramadamoho tapaso tamaso bhavado jnanam evacha. Krishna says, when sattugunam increases, knowledge will increase. And at the same time, bhakti, devotion, jnanam and vairagyam, knowledge, all these things will increase automatically with sattugunam. That is the beauty of sattugunam. In sattugunam, these three things will happen easily. And one will also become careful to get out of this karmic cycle. One will be careful to get out of the karmic cycle. a sattvagunam gets out of karma in a different way than the tamoguni gets out of karma. Tamoguni wants to get out of karma because he wants to, it's an excuse for him to get out of karma. Sattvaguni gets out of karma through knowledge. That is the difference. That's what Krishna is saying like that. Sattvar sanjayate jnanam rajaso lobham evajam. That once the sattvagunam has built up inside, the shraddha, the seriousness will come in a person in such a way to live properly in order to execute spiritual life, and in due course he will develop knowledge also. That's what Krishna is saying. And if it is rajogunam that has increased, what will happen? Attachment to different material objects will increase. The result of that will be desires will go on one after the other, and karma will increase, and the accumulation will also increase, assets will increase, but continuously greed will not leave him at all. On the other hand, when the tamogunam has increased, ignorance and laziness will increase, a lot of desires will be there, but he will not be able to execute any work, even in that condition. So, sattval sanjayate jnanam, sattval sanjayate jnanam, rajaso lobham evacha, then pramadam oho tapaso, bhavado ajnanam evacha, pramadam moho tapaso, pramadam and moham from tamas, and the result will be ajnanam. So, we will stop here, because we have another quite a few verses. I think there's so many, 27 verses. We have got another 10 verses to go. So, we'll discuss those verses next Sunday. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada.